Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Percent of Visteon sales still go to former parent firm Ford, which is stepping in to finance the bankruptcy to make sure that Visteon's plants keep operating and the parts keep flowing.
That's Jeff Gilbert of WWJ Radio in Detroit. GM could be in bankruptcy by Monday. CBS's Anthony Mason is following that.
Basically, the government is agreeing to support GM through bankruptcy and through restructuring. The question is, you know, can GM be viable beyond that? And there's a lot of debate over that.
UAW members at GM are voting today on a package of major concessions, and Chrysler is back in bankruptcy court for a second day to argue that most of its assets should be sold to Fiat. Despite the rough road for automakers, President Obama sees a light at the end of the tunnel for the American economy. CBS's Peter Mayer with the president in Los Angeles.
President Obama has used a Democratic Party fundraiser to offer this upbeat economic assessment.
It's safe to say that we have stepped back from the brink, that there is some calm that didn't exist before.
Mr. Obama spoke to an audience that included couples who paid $30,400 to see and be seen with him. The president urged Hollywood movers and shakers, including Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and Ron Howard, to keep telling important stories that, as he put it, make us want to change the world. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Los Angeles.
In California, President Obama again made another pitch for his Supreme Court nominee, Sonia Sotomayor. Back in Washington, the pre-confirmation battle lines have formed. Supporters hail her background, intellect, and fairness. Opponents say she's an activist who would impose her own ethnic and gender biases on the law and Constitution. Mike Allen of the Politico says Republicans will have to tread carefully during confirmation hearings.
Republicans know they have to do better with Hispanics if they're ever going to get the White House back, so they don't want to get involved in a fight that is going to make things worse for them.
It's far from business as usual at Kentucky's Fort Campbell today. It's the first day of a 3-day stand down to focus on suicide prevention.
I'm not surprised because a lot of soldiers been coming back with post-traumatic stress syndrome and not been getting help.
Retired soldier Shamika Negron says she suffered from depression for a year after an Iraq deployment. At Fort Campbell, there have been 11 suicides over the past year, 2 just last week.
Do not surrender. There is help available. Reach out, ask for the help, and we will come and assist you.
Joe Varney is a suicide prevention manager at the base. When it comes to health insurance, there are the haves and the have-nots. Now there's more evidence those with health insurance are paying more because so many people don't have coverage. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnano.
An insurance expert hired by the group Families USA computed the cost of treating the uninsured, $116 billion last year. More than a third of that was paid for by everyone else.
In 2008, there was a hidden health tax of $1,017 added to insurance premiums.
Executive Director Ron Pollack.
It is a significant moral issue, but it's a real economic issue.
It's estimated more than 45 million Americans have no health insurance. Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
It's the World News Roundup, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. The Nuggets find themselves in a must-win situation tomorrow night.
Yeah, game 6 in Denver Friday. Go home, take care of business, and come back here. You know, that's something that we're looking forward to.
Carmelo Anthony, the Nuggets shot 39% for the game, the Lakers 49%, and L.A. wins at 103-94. Game 6 tomorrow night at Pepsi Center, 7 o'clock. A 17-year-old high school student's in the hospital after sliding off the hood of a moving SUV in the Conifer High School parking lot.
A lot of people have been saying, car surfing.
State Patrolman Ryan Sullivan, the girl's in fair condition at Children's Hospital. A Jamaican lottery fraud is preying on desperate Coloradans.
I think people are looking at their retirement savings, looking at their bank accounts, and a phone call that may have been too good to be true a year ago at least now is considered as a way out of financial desperation.
Jeffco fraud investigator Kerry Johnson talking with 9 News. Johnson says the con artists ask victims to send money to claim winnings from a non-existent lottery. Sports: Rockies lose to the Dodgers 8-6. They're off today, and the Padres are in town for the weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute, there's no crashes to get in your way. Southbound is on I-25, seeing a few more cars as you're making your approach to 84th, but no significant slowdowns yet. It's also getting busy on 225. This approaching Yosemite, but again, no slowdowns as you're trying to make your way towards the tech center. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
So you run Windows at your desk. You have an Airport Express hooked up to your stereo. You want to stream music from your PC to the big speakers. Impossible? Not with Airfoil from the guys at Rogue Amoeba. This isn't anything new, but they've just released version 2.7, which improves many of its features and now supports the Airfoil Speakers Touch app, which streams to your iPhone or iPod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
After a huge success in movie theaters, Kung Fu Panda is set to hit the small screen. Nickelodeon is planning a 26-episode television series revolving around the martial arts-loving panda Pug. It's not known yet if Jack Black will reprise his role as the voice of the panda in the series, which is set to launch sometime next year. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
And ended up losing. We haven't seen them in a must-win situation this year, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, game 6 on Friday. So fingers crossed for the Nugs. Looking a little bit bleak, but they could pull it back out. They could pull it back out. I've seen worse things as a Sixers fan.
I'm sure you have.
All right, let's do our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Local news first. Denver Post reports that federal aid is coming to assist jobless youths in Colorado. Bleak forecasts for youth summer jobs abound. Millions in federal stimulus funds will help plug the gap in Colorado. About $12 million coming here to boost summer employment. FDIC reports that Colorado banks have lost $47 million in the first quarter as they coped with rising loan delinquencies and write-offs. The loss among Colorado's 114 FDIC-insured institutions contrasts with a $3 million gain in the fourth quarter and a $97 million gain in the first quarter of last year. These numbers are not surprising, but they are troubling. Xcel Energy on Wednesday was granted a $112.2 million electricity rate increase to cover costs of what it says are system upgrades. The rate hike approved by the Colorado Public Utilities Commission will increase average residential bills by $2.94 a month. Typical small business bills will rise by $4.42 a month. The increase starts on July 1st. A new law is being credited with bringing DaVita, the kidney and dialysis company, to Colorado. DaVita is the number 433 on the Fortune 500 list with nearly $6 billion in annual revenue. It announced that it is moving its headquarters here to Colorado. And they mentioned that they are moving here in part because a law that will go into effect gives a state income tax credit of 3.8% for up to 5 years to companies if they select Colorado over competitors and create at least 20 jobs. DeVita will have to apply for the tax break. And the CEO of the company said area counties and cities will have to provide other incentives. For instance, the Jefferson Economic Council has been working on a package to keep DeVita there, where it already has a building with 250 employees. About 800 of DeVita's 32,000 employees nationwide work in Colorado, and we're going to get back to that story in a second. Home resales. Buyers who were brave enough to dive into the market for a bargain-priced house helped provide a modest boost to sales last month. Denver Post reports that sales of inexpensive foreclosures and other distressed low-end properties have sparked bidding wars in places such as Las Vegas, Phoenix, Miami, and here in Colorado. A group led by Colorado Springs developer Bill Shuck said Wednesday that it hopes to take advantage of a proposed state tourism tax incentive to build a massive auto racing complex in North Aurora. So this is another example of the tax bidding war, the tax cut bidding war, to lure investment. This would be a $200 million track complex on 1,500 acres of the transport property straddling I-70 and east of E-470. It will include a one-mile oval speedway with a four-mile road course and go-kart facility. It would seat between 65,000 and 100,000 fans. The proposed development would also include hotels, restaurants, and other commercial ventures near I-70. Developers are claiming that it could bring more than $250 million into the region annually. Several conservation groups are now asking to intervene on the state's behalf. In a lawsuit challenging Colorado's new oil and gas regulations, seven groups filed a motion Wednesday in Denver District Court saying overturning the new rules would endanger the state's air and water quality, hunting and fishing, and the economy. So that battle gears up. Up in Boulder, Boulder County staffers are recommending that farmers who lease agricultural land from the Open Space Department be allowed to plant genetically modified sugar beets. The bill to defend Weld District Attorney Ken Buck and Weld Sheriff John Cook in a lawsuit against their immigration sweep last year has topped $97,000, and the cost could continue to rise under appeal. The Weld County government, i.e. the Weld County taxpayers, have footed the bill for the legal defense of the pair in their controversial moves. And this is off the news of the Weird Wire on the AP, a local story. Maybe the Colorado town of Basalt isn't so welcoming after all. That's the impression government officials fear people will get when they enter the town, because new posted signs say warning in red letters right below the sign that reads Welcome to Basalt. The warning refers to a town ordinance that prohibits drivers from letting their cars idle for more than 2 minutes. But town councilwoman Amy Capron says that having the signs so close together makes it daunting and not so welcoming. You think? National news. The assault and the debate about Sonia Sotomayor's nomination continues to heat up. Newt Gingrich is out there calling Sotomayor a racist. Tom Tancredo has been calling her a racist as well on TV, and we'll get a clip of that in a second. Now, the interesting thing here is that buried beneath this is a very real discussion about what the legal ramifications of Sotomayor's nomination will be on the court. And there are a number of progressive groups that are actually saying, you know, we really don't know where this person stands on major, major issues. It's a story in the Politico, Sotomayor not liberal enough for some on the left. Some liberal legal groups are raising questions about Sotomayor, citing her relatively moderate judicial record and her skimpy paper trail on crucial issues like abortion, gay marriage, and the death penalty. She has been known, according to these stories, as somebody who has basically ratified much of judicial precedent in the past. She has not gone out and offered up opinions or rulings that have really moved legal theory or the legal system forward in any well-known way. New York Times reports that some abortion rights backers are very uneasy about Sotomayor. Nearly 11 years as a federal appeals court judge, Sotomayor has never directly ruled on whether the Constitution protects a woman's right to choose. The Chamber of Commerce is cheering on her nomination. That's not good news. It's an interesting debate. We're going to get into that, into this question about what the Sotomayor nomination really means for legal issues, beyond the whole debate about her being the first Hispanic nominated to the court. Now, top Senate Republicans are telling the Politico that barring unknown facts about Sotomayor, the Republicans plan no scorched earth opposition to her confirmation as a Supreme Court justice. They are saying they will not filibuster her nomination. So that is good news. That's certainly good news. I'm sure it's still going to be a fiery confirmation fight. In political news, Arlen Specter, the newly named Democrat, will likely face a major primary from sitting Congressman Joe Sestak, even though most of the Democratic political establishment wants Specter to have a free ride. I think this is great news. The more primaries, as I've said, the better. Wall Street Journal has a story today about the recession battering city budgets around the U.S. Many municipalities are considering the once unthinkable option of dissolving themselves through what's called disincorporation. Basically, ending your city, ending your town. President Obama's plan to overhaul the nation's healthcare system could dodge one of the bullets that felled the Clinton-era reforms by maintaining an active and independent role for private insurance companies, congressional budget analysts said yesterday. In a report, the CBO said a government mandate requiring people to buy health insurance would not necessarily be considered a new form of federal taxation, so long as people had a variety of private plans from which to choose and a government entity was not in charge of collecting their insurance premiums. So the attack on the single-payer concept continues. And our final story, Empire, the movie blog and magazine, reports that Ridley Scott's classic horror Alien turns 30 this year. And there is some chatter that Fox might be planning an Alien remake with commercials director Carl Eric Rinch at the helm. I don't know. Those movies are so great. I don't know. I don't know if that's such a good idea. That's your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, here's what we're going to do. In the 8 a.m. hour, we've got Congressman Ed Perlmutter, who's going to be on with us, and we're going to ask him a bunch of questions. And one of the questions we're going to ask him about is this proposed new racetrack that I believe is in his district. It's Aurora, so I assume it would be in his district. And Perlmutter, I believe, is for it. Now, we've got two stories in Colorado today. One, we've got the assertion that DaVita, the dialysis company, is moving here because of a massive tax break that the state legislature just passed. DaVita saying that that was one of the reasons they came here. And now you've got counties in the state, municipalities in the state, fighting to create more tax breaks, tax giveaways, tax subsidies to get DaVita to move, when they ultimately move their headquarters here, to move to their particular county. Is this a good bargain? Are we using our taxpayer money properly? Is the DaVita moving from California to Colorado proof that all of these tax handouts work? And what about this racetrack? How do you feel about this racetrack? Do you want a 100,000-person racetrack put, what'd they say, at the intersection of I-70 and E-470 out in Aurora? $200 million. It's my understanding it could be tens of millions of dollars that taxpayers would be compelled to put into this stadium for free. We don't get any share of the gate. You think it's a good idea? There's investors saying they might build it because of these tax incentives. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. Are we using our taxpayer money here properly in all these tax subsidies? Is this announcement by DaVita, the big dialysis company, that they're coming to Colorado, is this proof that these tax incentives work? Or are we going to see within the state now a race to the bottom as counties compete with each other to offer up more and more tax subsidies, even as they cut their municipal budgets for things like roads and health care? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Later on in the show, we will get into a debate. We will open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo later on in the show to ask the question about, beyond Sonia Sotomayor's incredible personal story and her important addition to the diversity of the legal system, whether President Obama has missed an opportunity to change the legal makeup of the court. People criticizing Sotomayor saying, you know, she's really not much of a progressive. You know, you got the Chamber of Commerce cheering her on. You got major progressive legal groups saying, you know, we don't know where she is on gay marriage, the death penalty, abortion. Are we missing the real issue here of the Sotomayor nomination, that there's another set of issues beyond her being the first Hispanic nominee, the issues of maybe she's not really going to change the court? Is that a missed opportunity? We'll get into that in the 7 and 8 a.m. hour. But right now, do you think our tax money is being used properly? $200 million NASCAR facility moving forward potentially in Aurora. DaVita, the big dialysis company, a Fortune 500 company moving here, citing a law that gives a tax subsidy to it. Is this proof that these tax subsidies work? Or are you worried that we are wasting our money? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we're still accident-free as we kick off the morning commute. We are seeing speeds dip, though, in those normal spots. North Glen on the southbound side of 25. Also busy once you get closer to downtown after Park Avenue. Also getting busy southbound 225, Colfax to Alameda, and again after Yosemite. People trying to get into the tech center. Only other spot I'm seeing some traffic building of westbound 76, 74th Avenue to I-270. Also got water main work, southbound University down to one lane at Vassar. That's north of Yale. All lanes of northbound University are shut down at Yale, with traffic being detoured from Yale onto Josephine for three blocks. So things a little busy there around DU this morning. Forecast, mostly sunny and warmer with highs pushing into the low 80s. Could be breezy too with a small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Right now, 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Next time you're at King Soopers, look for new lower prices on chicken and all ground meats. The new lower prices will help you put food on the table for a lot less.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
The Home Depot has new lower prices on select patio sets. You'll save 25% or more. But keep your seat. It gets better. Put those savings towards something to enjoy while sitting pretty on the patio. Like a new flat of flowers, a new grill, or maybe some outdoor lighting for those cool evenings you'll spend thanks to our new lower prices on select patio sets. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as The Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
On a beautiful Front Range day, it's going up to about 77 today. I'm feeling pretty good today. I was not feeling all that well yesterday. Turk didn't even show up. We're both at the Nine Inch Nails, Jane's Addiction concert on Tuesday night. I had to drag ass here.
And we ran into each other.
We ran into each other, and then Turk basically was like, taking the day off. I was like, what about me? Where's my day off?
I'm sore, man. Me and Stacy are kind of slamming around the mosh pit.
You were down in the mosh pit, man. You know, it was a funny scene. It was, I thought it was like the mosh pit generation at 30.
You know what I mean? Exactly. It was extremely friendly.
Yeah, it was like, there was some young people there, but the crowd was mainly, I thought, what, 30s, 40s, right? It was sort of the because Nine Inch Nails is huge heyday. Was like, you know,
early
10 years ago, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, even 10, 15 years ago. And so the crowd was like, you know, it was like this older mosh pit. It was really great. It was a great show, man.
It was a wonderful show.
I mean,
I go into mosh pit, you know it's friendly.
You go to a lot of shows. I don't go to that many shows. I mean, that was
one of the better shows I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
good. I mean,
good.
Trent Reznor was like crying at one point during
the
show.
Yeah, I mean, he is quite a showman.
He's an artist, yeah.
Yeah, he is. All right, 627. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about the potential for a $200 million racetrack in Aurora. And we're also talking about the news that DaVita, the Fortune 500 dialysis company, is moving to Colorado. DaVita has cited a new law giving it a major tax subsidy as one of the reasons it decided to relocate to Colorado. Economic development officials in state say, county economic development officials say that they are now going to be bidding amongst each other with tax incentives to get DaVita to actually have its headquarters in their exact county. DaVita hasn't apparently said exactly where its headquarters will be. And so this all raises the question of whether this news proves that giving away taxpayer money to private companies is actually a good thing. There was a debate over the bill, over the series of bills in the legislature that created these tax incentives. Critics said, you know, this is a waste if you don't force the company to at least agree to definitely create a significant number of jobs. It's just a giveaway, and we are just creating a race to the bottom. But now we've got a major Fortune 500 company moving to Colorado. It hasn't said it's going to necessarily create jobs, but it is moving here. You've got investors, private investors, saying they want to build a $200 million racetrack, NASCAR racetrack, out in Aurora using essentially free taxpayer money. Is this a good or bad use of our money? Do these stories prove the value of these tax subsidies, or do they not prove the value of these tax subsidies because they are not guaranteed, the moves are not guaranteed to really create jobs? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Derek in Fort Collins, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
I think the DeVita move is a good. I think it's a good idea because I think if they're going to bring in even like maybe they won't create new jobs, but if they bring in some of their executives and whatnot, you know, they'll spend the money here. And quite frankly, you know, Las Vegas would love to have them. Reno would love to have them. And they're giving stuff away as well. The racetrack's a different issue because, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. But maybe the events that would take place at that racetrack would, you know, create economic activity in that area. And you know, NASCAR is, you know, the biggest spectator sport in the world. So
well, the developers are saying, hey, this is probably going to be $250 million worth of economic activity. Now, you know, it's hard to know what that means, and developers' estimates are notoriously fuzzy, if you will.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, the question is, and you know, you really see how difficult it is for a state, even for like the Ritter administration, right? It wants to bring jobs here,
yeah.
And because states are allowed to play off each other, there is this race to the bottom, right? We're competing with Nevada to cut our tax, to offer up tax subsidies and create corporate tax loopholes. And it's this race to the bottom at a time that we have serious budget issues. And, you know, the problem is that for every string you might put onto the money, right? If you said to DeVita, well, you have to create 600 new jobs. Well, Nevada might say, no, you don't have to create any jobs. We'll just give you the money anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it really puts every state in a very, very difficult situation where you're sort of forced into this arms race, if you will, that this, you know, the more and more tax subsidies. And then the question is, well, where does it end? Right? I mean, where, right? We've gone from DeVita, which is a high-tech, a dialysis company, but we're also throwing money at a NASCAR racetrack. Like, at what point does it stop?
And I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, would you rather do that? And I know it's kind of a different, kind of apples to oranges, but look what we're doing to GM. We know they're going to fail, and we're still giving them $4 billion a month.
Exactly. You know what? You're exactly right. It's kind of the same issue. It's kind of the same. I mean, it's a little different in the sense that GM, and we talked about this a couple days ago, GM has come out and said, listen, we're actually going to increase production abroad and eliminate U.S. factories. So GM has acted, it's incredible. GM has actually said, listen, we're going to use American taxpayer money to outsource American jobs. So, and the money is still going to flow. It's pretty fast. It's even worse.
But U.S. workers won't benefit.
Well, that was the announcement by GM, and the Obama administration said that it was okay with that business plan. Now, of course, you could make the argument, well, you know, if GM stays around, at least the jobs that still exist in the United States won't be eliminated, and the dealerships will not have to be cut so much. But, you know, if you don't put strings attached on the money, you really wonder, where is the ultimate benefit to taxpayers? I mean, my thing with the NASCAR racetrack is, look, if me as a Colorado taxpayer, if we as Colorado taxpayers are going to put up to $50 million into this thing and we don't get a share of the gate, I mean, what private investor would spend $50 million on a racetrack and agree to get no share of the gate?
That's the question, and it's the economic activity around it that makes up for that.
Well, that's the theory,
you
right?
You can't measure that.
That's the theory. The theory is that, well, if you generate economic activity, then that will create tax revenue, and there's your return on investment. The problem is that you can't guarantee that. And, you know, this brings up an issue that we've seen in New York City with Yankee Stadium. And
yeah, and
there was a similar situation at Yankee Stadium. Hey, Derek, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks.
6:34, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Couple open lines, 303-713-7600. Is the move of DeVita, a Fortune 500 company, big news yesterday locally, they're moving to Colorado, and they're saying that a tax subsidy passed by the legislature recently is one of the reasons they're coming to the state. Does that prove that corporate welfare, tax subsidies, direct injections, does that prove that corporate welfare actually works? Or does the fact that DaVita hasn't agreed to create any certain amount of jobs in the state, does that prove that we're just handing out our money and wasting it? Same question for the NASCAR track. Big news is that that NASCAR proposal for a 100,000-person stadium and racetrack out in Aurora, the announcement is that that's moving forward in part because the legislature passed that big potential tax giveaway, $50 million. Does this news prove that corporate welfare actually works? Or are you worried that we're about to get fleeced? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. After the break, I'll fill you in on what happened with Yankee Stadium. I wrote my column about it this week, and the Yankee Stadium story is really, really a crazy, crazy story. And I think it's instructive. And if you haven't heard about it, it involves Michael Bloomberg, gross New York politics, the richest team in professional sports. It's a pretty incredible story. So stick around. Yankee Stadium after a traffic update.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic is starting to get busy around town. In the normal spots, though, no accidents on the highways. We do have a blip out there to look out for. Southbound University around Yale. Denver Water is working on a conduit. One southbound lane of traffic open on University. Northbound lanes detoured there at Yale onto Josephine for three blocks. Work is expected to be wrapped up after this morning's commute. Rest of the drive, pretty standard for us. Heaviest volumes right now, southbound 25, North Glen, again, closer to downtown. Eastbound C-470, also starting to get busy there in Littleton. Beginning at Wadsworth, also going to be a little busy from Broadway up past University. And seeing things build eastbound I-70 from York to Colorado. Forecast, mostly sunny, small chance for afternoon thunderstorm. A high around 80, your current downtown temperature is 51 degrees. John Turk, AM-760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Help protect your home's value by improving your landscape. Visit PioneerSand.com. With 15 Front Range locations, Pioneer Sand Company offers decorative rock, bark, flagstone, boulders, excellent service, and much, much more. For the location nearest you, visit PioneerSand.com, and they deliver.
You know what the Snuggies are, right? They're for people who can't deal with blankets. A Snuggie is pretty much giving up. I just want a blanket with, like...
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SolarRips.com.
Sitting at your desk right now working, aren't you? And if you hear this commercial again later, I'm pretty certain you'll still be working.
And tomorrow, working.
What's missing from this picture? There's no playtime.
And even if you're playing at your computer, you're not playing outside. You're not connecting with your kids or working up a healthy sweat.
Lucky for you, now is the perfect time to play. Tennis. May is tennis month in America. Time to play. Again.
Or for the first time.
Time to give the couch some time off. Time to hear, nice shot.
And time to hear the sound we never grow too old for.
To get back in the game, go to TennisMonth.com and find courts, find partners, find your game.
That's TennisMonth.com.
Or pull up the screen on your computer right now and click on the United States Tennis Association banner to see all the ways the USTA is ready to help you play.
with the Intelligent Office, 303-447-9000.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. On Thursday, the best day of the week. Remember that, folks. Recalibrate the way you look at the week. Monday sucks. Tuesday's the worst day of the week. Because now you're one day into the week. You're behind all your work. And there's no end in sight. Wednesday's hump day. Thursday, you've got Friday, which is an awesome day, Saturday, which is an awesome day, and Sunday, which is a solid day in front of you. So Thursday, it's my take, but Thursday, after the first half of your Thursday is done, it's great. It's the best feeling in the world. Now, the first half of my day isn't done yet, so I guess I'm not there yet. But it is Thursday, feeling pretty energized. Saw the Nine Inch Nails Jane's Addiction concert this week. It was fantastic. And we're talking now about corporate welfare in Colorado. Two big stories this week. One, a $200 million potential NASCAR racetrack out in Aurora that is going to be potentially built. And the developers are saying that might happen because the Colorado legislature passed a massive tax subsidy that will give away up to $50 million to the developers there for free, no strings attached. Similarly, DaVita, the big Fortune 500 dialysis company, said it is moving to Colorado, and in its press conference announcing the move, cited a similar tax subsidy as one of the reasons it's moving here. Does this prove that these tax subsidies actually work? Remember, there was a lot of opposition to this, criticism from folks who said this is a waste. We're giving away money, and we're not guaranteeing returns on our investment. The companies aren't agreeing to create any certain amount of jobs. They're not agreeing to create any certain amount of economic activity. Now, in terms of the DaVita situation, DaVita hasn't said exactly where it's going to put its headquarters. Municipal economic development officials are saying that they are now going to compete with each other inside the state to get DaVita to have its headquarters in their county. So county governments are now going to compete. Is this a good thing? Is this a waste of money? Do these moves prove that these taxpayer subsidies, this corporate welfare actually works? Or are you worried that we're about to get fleeced? 303-713-7600. Remember, this money is going to these companies at a time that we're cutting health care, that our roads are not getting maintained in the way they need to be maintained, at a time when you look across the state and you see services being cut all the time. This is a zero-sum game, folks, in the sense that money going to these subsidies is coming out of the budgets of other services. What do you think about this? 303-713-7600. And also, feel free to just weigh in on the idea. Do you want a giant NASCAR racetrack in Aurora? Is that a good or a bad thing? If you live in Aurora, I'm curious what you think. 303-713-7600. We still have a couple lines open. Let's go to Courtney in Denver. Courtney, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I just want to weigh in on the DaVita issue.
Go for it.
Kind of. It's just more of a comment, really. My wife works for DaVita, and currently at their clinic, they cut all their nurses' hours to part-time and took away their benefits.
Is it here, here in Colorado?
Here in Colorado. And so I don't feel like that's a great thing. And, you know, what are we getting for our tax dollars there by...
So basically you're saying that the company has been, if not downsizing, then certainly...
it's probably economic related, I'm sure.
Downsizing light, right. And at the same time, we're throwing a big taxpayer handout to them to get them to come here. And there's no guarantee, for instance, just an example, there's no guarantee that any of that money will be used to, for instance, prevent that kind of... those kinds of employment cuts.
Right, I would agree.
And so in actuality, your taxpayer money is being used to subsidize getting the company to move more of its operations here at a time that your family's wages are basically being reduced by the same company.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bummer, man.
And I think it's part of the problem just being a healthcare for profit. They just don't nix very well, I don't think.
Yeah, and point of full disclosure, you know, my dad is a nephrologist, and my dad has worked with DaVita for a long time. So I have no idea. I mean, he says they're a fine company to work with. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He only works with them sort of medically, and he's a nephrologist. But it goes to the broader issue. It's not really about whether it's what the company does, right? I mean, it's the issue of should we as taxpayers be subsidizing companies to come here at a time that we are cutting public services, at a time that our budgets are strapped. One side says, if you don't make such investments, business won't come here. And then you won't have a tax base to build those services up. Another side says, well, the more we give away this money with no strings attached, the more we're just throwing it away, and we're not necessarily getting any benefits from it. It's really, really a difficult situation. And, you know, when you bring up an issue like, you know, your wife and your family with first person experience at a particular company, it's infuriating. It proves the point that I think that if there aren't significant controls on this money, this is public money.
That's exactly right.
That it will end up subsidizing bad behavior.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
So as promised, just to give you an update, I looked into this issue in the biggest example of this, of corporate welfare taxpayer subsidies. I looked into this in New York, in Yankee Stadium. They call Yankee Stadium the house the taxpayers built. And what ended up happening was Mayor Michael Bloomberg used various public agencies in New York State to compel taxpayers to spend between $1 and $4 billion to build Yankee Stadium. And then what they did was they passed a law that lets the Yankees use the property taxes and the taxes that they owe to pay off the stadium. So think about that in terms of your own life. If the government came to you and said, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to build you your house. We're going to build you a new house. And when you pay your income taxes, those income tax payments that you make, those are going to be put towards you paying off your house. Right? Imagine the deal of that. Now, the Yankees are the wealthiest corporation in professional sports. New York is cutting, the city is cutting all sorts of social services. In fact, the mayor out there, Mayor Bloomberg, the billionaire, has proposed roughly the same amount of cuts to the city budget as New York City taxpayers were forced to pay to build that stadium. And then here's the kicker. The kicker is the stadium charges $2,500 a ticket to sit in the premium seats, and has the highest average, by far, the highest average ticket price in professional sports. Now, I don't think everybody's got a right to go to a baseball game, but I certainly think if taxpayers are forced to spend $1 billion on a stadium, that at the absolute minimum, taxpayers shouldn't have to face the highest prices for tickets. At the absolute minimum, that should be the bargain. But it wasn't. And so now we're seeing it here in this state, a smaller version of it, I think, with the NASCAR stadium and with DaVita moving here. The same questions are being raised. Is this money, are taxpayer dollars being used effectively? Do these moves, the NASCAR stadium coming to the state, potentially, DaVita coming to the state, does this prove that actually these taxpayer subsidies work? 303-713-7600. Jason, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
I just have a comment. I'm just wondering when our elected officials have since become economic experts on the issue of dispensing our taxpayer money. I honestly feel that if they want to give any more than, you know, $1 million away to the company, shouldn't it basically be an issue for the taxpayers to vote on? Shouldn't it? I mean, shouldn't we have a right to, you know, have an opinion on this, not just what our, you know, governor thinks?
Well, I mean, they would say, listen, you elected us to do a job, and we are doing a job, and you also have a ballot initiative that you can limit what they do. Now, I agree with you in the sense that when you know, it's a question of the role of government, right? I mean, what the role of government, there's obvious government services, is funding a racetrack the same kind of thing as making sure your fire department
doesn't have
cuts.
See, we're giving $50 million away. Basically, we're just handing it over, but we just laid off. Didn't we just lay off sheriffs and police officers?
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I got no problem, or I have less of a problem, if our elected officials treat us, the taxpayers, as investors, right? I mean, if they said to us, listen, we're going to invest $50 million in the stadium or a racetrack, and we as taxpayers are going to have either an ownership stake or we're going to get paid back with interest. That's an investment, right? That's how an investor would behave, right? If I'm Warren Buffett and somebody comes to me and says, help me build a NASCAR racetrack, Warren Buffett says, all right, what's in it for me? I want a share of the gate. I want you to pay back my money with interest, right? That's an investor. What I get irritated by is that the politicians don't seem to treat us, the taxpayers, as investors.
Well, no, because it really does feel like, especially with like a lot of these bailout packages, it's like we get held up for the downfall, but we get none of the windfall.
I love that. I got to steal that and use that in a column,
okay,
man. That's poetry. We get the downfall and we get none of the windfall. Hey, Jason, thanks for the call, man.
You have a good day.
652, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We'll finish up our conversation about this new NASCAR racetrack potentially in Aurora. Fortune 500 company DaVita moving to Colorado. Is it proof that corporate welfare works? The companies are saying that they're here or they're coming here because of taxpayer handouts newly passed by the legislature. What do you think? 303-713-7600. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo on a provocative question about Sonia Sotomayor, a question that I don't think is being asked nearly enough. So stick around for that. And then in the 8 a.m. hour, we're going to have on Congressman Ed Perlmutter. So we got a lot on the docket. Stick around. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, getting reports of a small accident northbound I-25 right around 225, but I'm not seeing it on the cameras right now, but it is being reported, so do look out there. Our heaviest jams right now, southbound side of 25, stop and go, 120th to 84th, again from 70 past Spear. Also get real busy there in Highlands Ranch and Littleton, traveling eastbound on C-470, first at Wadsworth, again after Broadway. Things busy on the mousetrap, eastbound I-70, York to Colorado. Colorado as well, also on southbound 225 Parker Road down to 25 northbounders, going to find a little problems there making your way after the spillway, but speed still in the 20s and 30s there. Also hearing of a fuel spill northbound Highway 85 at 168. You hear that, Stacy? Spilled load. Your forecast. Mostly sunny, warm with highs pushing into the low 80s. Could be breezy, too, with a small chance for afternoon thunderstorms. Right now, 52 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Marissa's hatching a plan to find the perfect guy, but she's about to discover her perfect guy just may have a plan of his own. Sarah Chalk stars in the two-night world premiere, Maneater, this Saturday at 9 on Lifetime, presented by Vaseline AloeFresh.
It's over for the Republicans for the next 40 years.
If you really love quality Swiss timepieces, then you must go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, Swiss Army, and many more.
But it isn't just the brands. It's the number of timepieces within each brand that truly distinguishes Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
Colorado's Progressive Talk. We're talking about the proposed NASCAR racetrack in Aurora. The news that a Fortune 500 company, DaVita, has moved to Colorado. Both projects basically saying that they're coming here because of taxpayer handouts, new tax subsidies. Does this prove that corporate welfare, taxpayer-funded corporate welfare, works? 303-713-7600. John and Greeley, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
David, good to speak to you this morning.
Good talking to you.
To answer your question, absolutely it works.
So you think it works?
For the corporate.
Well, do you think it works? I guess I should rephrase. Do you think it works for us?
No. And that's where I'm in absolute agreement with you. I think it's proof that corporate money has bought and paid for our elections, and if we don't get that money out of our elections, we're going to continue to do public service on the cheap while the richest 1% of the world get a little richer on the backs of those that absolutely should. They should.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because remember, what we know about the tax subsidy, the big tax subsidy that the NASCAR developers are talking about, we know that Colorado Concern, that group of CEOs, that group of the biggest CEOs in the state, lobbied very, very heavily for that. And Colorado Concern also, what we know is that they helped retire about a $200,000 campaign debt that Bill Ritter had. So we know that there is a connection between campaign finance, the funding of politicians, and the handing out of taxpayer money. A cynic, or some might say a realist, would look at the situation and say, hey, Colorado Concern made an investment of a couple $100,000 into a couple legislators and a governor and may get potentially a $50 million taxpayer-funded handout in return. Good point, John. Thanks for the call. Matt in Arvada, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, two quick thoughts. Number one, I think it goes back to trickle-down economics. You know, we had this theory under Reagan, I think, that if we invest in those large corporate structures, it'll trickle down and everybody will benefit. But instead, what I think happened is we sold out the production base in the United States. The other thing I would say, I think we've always operated with capitalism for the working class and socialism for the owners.
That's exactly what this is, right? I mean, that is definitely what this is. It's capitalism. We all have to, workers have to compete against each other in a wage-cutting competition for jobs. But when it comes to those at the top, they can rely on the government, essentially state socialism, to float them, to back them up, to prop them up.
And in the last 20 years, that's been at the direct expense of our production base. I mean, we've exported production, and it's served corporate profit.
We have, and the thing that just kills me about this, because I know GM is in the news and might go into bankruptcy. The thing that just kills me was that story we talked about last week, where the Obama administration approved a GM business plan that is based on shutting its production facilities here in the United States and moving more of them abroad where labor costs are cheaper. Why are they cheaper? Because workers living under governments that don't have a minimum wage or don't respect union rights are cheaper to employ. All right, stick around. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to kick off the AM 760. We're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo on an issue about Sonia Sotomayor I don't think you've heard about, so stick around.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. Fresh readings on the economy are out, and they seem to say things aren't getting worse, even if they aren't getting much better. The number of workers who filed new unemployment insurance applications last week fell by 13,000. But the number of people actually getting benefits set a record for the 17th week in a row. Economist Peter Morici.
The recovery is on the horizon, but we have to recognize that it's still on the horizon. And when it arrives, it will not be a steep recovery, but rather a gradual one.
In a second report within the past half hour, the government said orders for big-ticket durable goods rose almost 2% in April. Visteon, a major parts supplier for the auto industry, has been forced to file for bankruptcy. CBS's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
Visteon was part of a plan by Ford to spin off its auto parts operations into a new company that could find new business elsewhere. But plagued by high cost, Visteon never posted an annual profit. The final blow was a worldwide sales slowdown, which is hurting all parts suppliers. Ford will finance Visteon's bankruptcy so that Ford's parts supplies aren't disrupted.
All of the government agencies that were supposed to ride herd on banks didn't see the subprime mortgage meltdown coming until it was too late. That, the Wall Street Journal says, is why the administration's considering creation of a single new regulatory watchdog. RBC Capital Markets analyst Gerard Cassidy supports the idea.
I make a little bit more than the average guy, but the
Visteon was part of a plan.
I think this is going to fly through the Congress like the speed of light.
A retired Army general says President Obama has a good reason not to release new photos from Abu Ghraib prison. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnetto.
They show torture and sexual assaults, retired Major General Antonio Taguba tells Britain's Daily Telegraph, including rapes of a man and a woman. Every indecency, as he puts it, adding the mere depiction is horrendous enough, take my word for it. Taguba headed the investigation of abuse. The president originally promised to release some 2,000 photos, but changed his mind after commanders argued they would incite anger and further endanger troops. Frank?
The pressure of being a worldwide celebrity may be getting to Susan Boyle. A British tabloid says the dowdy Scottish singing sensation lost it in a hotel lobby encounter with a pair of strangers and let loose with an expletive-laced tirade. Piers Morgan, a judge on the British talent show that made Boyle famous, tells the CBS News Early Show.
She's a 48-year-old lady from a tiny village in Scotland who has never been exposed to anything like this kind of attention, and I think she's really feeling the heat.
5 is your first white ball number.
5, 6, 12, 16, 21, and Powerball number 7. If you had them, congratulations. You won last night's $232 million jackpot. Lottery officials say the one and only winning ticket was sold in South Dakota. Veronica or Betty? Betty or Veronica? Not to give it away, but here's a hint. Betty's in tears. After 7 decades, Archie has stopped waffling and decided which of his comic book girlfriends he wants to marry. It all comes out in issue 600, September 1st. S&P futures are up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Not long ago, using the internet meant waiting for a connection, for a page to load or a download to complete, and progress bars. Lots and lots of progress bars. Welcome to now. Equip your team with Sprint Mobile Broadband and instantly unleash the potential of the internet from almost anywhere. They pop a Sprint Mobile Broadband card into their laptops, and they're up and running right now. Checking emails from the lobby? Check. Uploading or downloading some mammoth files in the back of a cab? Done. And because only Sprint has the most dependable 3G network, your crew gets what's most important to them whenever they need it, practically instantaneously. Instant internet from virtually anywhere. Sprint, the now network. Get a free Ovation U760 by Novatel Wireless mobile broadband card for your entire business team. Visit sprint.com/free card. Dependable based on third-party drive tests on data performance for top 50 markets. Offer valid through 6609. Excludes taxes. May require credit approval. $36 activation, 2-year agreement, and $200 early termination fee. Available for corporate liable accounts only. See store for coverage and other details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. The Nuggets have their backs against the wall after losing Game 5 last night in L.A. Denver scored just 18 points in the final period and had trouble scoring inside.
Backs against the wall, you know, so got to come out swinging. I just come out and get 110%. And if you come out and you do that, and whatever the outcome is, you can live with.
That's big man Kenyon Martin there. A must-win game six tomorrow night at Pepsi Center. A Conifer High School student's in fair condition at Children's Hospital after she slipped off the hood of a moving SUV. Trooper Ryan Sullivan says the 17-year-old girl was holding onto the windshield wipers when she lost her grip and fell.
As the vehicle was in motion, which again she slipped off and was ran over by the vehicle. But I don't know if I would necessarily call it car surfing.
It happened in the school parking lot. And a team of developers plans to build a racetrack east of DIA that's expected to seat up to 100,000 people. The developers say they plan to begin construction on the $200 million project as soon as late 2010. Dodgers over the Rockies 8-6 yesterday. The Rocks are off today and the Padres are in town for the weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where we're seeing slowdowns in those usual spots like southbound I-25 as you're coming in from Thornton and Northland. 270 is also getting busier on both sides of the highway across Commerce City. Speeds are going to drop into the teens and 20s in pockets there. Southbound 2 1/4 also dragging, making the Parker curve up towards DTC. We'll break loose a little bit. Had some activity on the northbound side of 225 right around that same area, but no delays there. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value Menu. Grab a junior breakfast burrito and a small order of tater tots. Just $1 each. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good.
The Home Depot has new lower prices on select patio sets. You'll save 25% or more. But keep your seat. It gets better. Put those savings towards something to enjoy while sitting pretty on the patio. Like a new flat of flowers, a new grill, or maybe some outdoor lighting for those cool evenings you'll spend thanks to our new lower prices on select patio sets. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
The Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Seven oh six here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Beautiful day coming up here on the Front Range. Now, as promised, we're going to get into the Sonia Sotomayor controversy. We're going to take a look at a different aspect of her nomination. We've been talking in the last couple days about what I think are the fantastic implications for bringing diversity to the court. I strongly support the idea that we need much more diversity in our legal system and that there is a huge, huge benefit to putting the first Hispanic on the court and having a Hispanic woman on the court. There's absolutely a major benefit. It's not intangible. It's real. I absolutely agree with the idea, as Sotomayor herself has articulated in past speeches, that judges bring their backgrounds with them to their jobs, just like almost everybody brings their backgrounds with them to their jobs, and that we need more people who have the experiences that a Sonia Sotomayor has, somebody who grew up in a housing project, who is of Latino descent. We need more of that diversity of experience and heritage and ethnicity and gender on our court and in our government as a whole. However, what has been less discussed has been what Sotomayor means for the actual rulings of the court. And if I have any criticism of progressives, it is that we sometimes let certain aspects of politics prioritize or come before other aspects of politics. So specifically in this, I think a little bit of what's gone on is you've got such cheerleading and justifiable cheerleading about the nomination of the first Hispanic to the court that we've somewhat negated a discussion about where Sotomayor is on a number of actual issues that the court will rule on. So for instance, there is a story in the New York Times today Abortion rights backers are uneasy with Sotomayor's nomination. In nearly 11 years as a federal appeals court judge, Sotomayor has never directly ruled on whether the Constitution protects a woman's right to an abortion. But when she has written opinions that touched tangentially on abortion disputes, Sotomayor has reached outcomes in some cases that were favorable to abortion opponents. That's just one aspect. That's one story there. Some liberal legal groups, says the Politico, are raising questions about Sotomayor, citing her relatively moderate judicial record and her skimpy paper trail on crucial issues, like, again, abortion, gay marriage, the death penalty. Sotomayor is known as a quote-unquote centrist, somebody who has ratified past decisions of past courts, not a legal trailblazer. By that I mean her personal life story is a trailblazing story for Latinos, absolutely. But in terms of a trailblazer in legal rulings, she has been much more of an institutionalist. New York Times story says Sotomayor's opinions are unpredictable, says lawyers and scholars. A 2006 case in which she allowed class action lawsuits against Merrill Lynch suggested to some business lawyers that she was amenable to lawsuits against big corporations. But in a 2006 securities case against the same company, she voted with the majority in refusing to allow a class to be formed. The Chamber of Commerce has been quietly supportive, or at least reticent, about her nomination, which gives me great pause, makes me very nervous. The Chamber of Commerce, one of the most conservative corporate front groups in the United States. The New York Times has this rundown of cases that Sotomayor has dealt with. Riverkeeper versus EPA, a 2007 case in which Sotomayor ruled that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, should not have weighed costs against environmental benefits in requiring water intake structures for power plants that protected fish. In a securities case, Sotomayor interpreted a 1998 federal law, again, intended to limit class action suits in a way that allowed such suits, but in 2006, she voted effectively against that, preventing essentially a case from moving forward against Merrill Lynch. Sotomayor found that a legal theory, in another case, that allows plaintiffs to sue the government over misconduct could be applied to a private company operating under a government contract. That's a good ruling. And in a key property rights case, Sotomayor took part in a brief unsigned order from the Second Circuit. The order, which followed the Supreme Court's major property-taking decision in Kelo versus City of New London, supported a town's effort to seize property for the use of a developer. Richard Epstein, a conservative legal scholar, wrote that American business should shudder in its boots if Sotomayor takes this attitude to the Supreme Court. So she's got a kind of a mixed record here, and the question is, has President Obama missed something of an opportunity? Has he missed an opportunity to put on a out-and-out progressive legal powerhouse on the court, a movement progressive on the court, in appointing Sotomayor? Somebody, a judge who, by almost every measure, is a quote-unquote moderate. Now, I put that term in quotes because I think that term is used as a euphemism for conservative. But you've got essentially abortion rights advocates saying they don't know where she stands and that some of her rulings that have touched tangentially on the issue have been sided against abortion rights advocates. You've got the business community saying, hey, she's a pretty good nominee. The big business, I'm not talking about small business, I'm talking about the huge corporate front groups in D.C., saying she's okay by them. You've got even progressives saying, hey, you know, progressive legal scholars saying this person is not, and there's a quote in the story, quote unquote, she is not a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Has President Obama missed an opportunity to put a movement progressive on the court? Now, I ask that question, making clear that I think he certainly has not missed an opportunity to make history, important history, by nominating what could be the first Hispanic justice on the court. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. That is important. At least in my opinion, it's important. It's very important. But I wonder if the historic nature of putting the first Hispanic on the court has distracted us from looking also at whether this nomination is actually going to move the court away from its really hardcore conservative bent. Do you think Obama has missed an opportunity in some sense? 303-713-7600. Or do you think that, hey, he made history, he's making history with putting the first Hispanic, a Hispanic woman on the court, and that's enough. It doesn't really matter where she comes down on issues. I mean, just to counter that, I would say, well, if that's your take, then would you be upset if he put Alberto Gonzalez on the court? Right? I mean, is that the only thing it's all about? 303-713-7600. We're going to open up the AM760 Progressive Dojo.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No!
Does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
So the AM760 Progressive Dojo is now open. Again, the question, do you think President Obama has missed an opportunity to appoint a more progressive Supreme Court justice? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. Weigh in on this. We'll take a break, and we'll take your calls as you line up here. We got a couple open lines, 303-713-7600. Or do you think I'm wrong? Do you think not only am I wrong, but abortion rights groups are wrong for raising questions about this? Progressive legal groups are wrong for raising questions that President Obama has made history by appointing the first Hispanic to the Supreme Court, and that's enough. 303-713-7600. What is your take? And after the break, we've got some audio on Tom Tancredo's criticism, and we're going to air that out as well. But we're opening up the AM760 Progressive Dojo. I'm sensing it's going to be heated. So get ready. Stick around. We'll do it all after a traffic update with Captain John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Got an accident on the ramp from southbound I-25 to County Line. That's really our only blip as far as accidents on the freeways around town. We do see some stop-and-go conditions. Southbound I-25, normally it's real busy up in Northland. Today, same deal, 120th to 84th speeds in the teens there. Same deal after I-70. And eastbound C-470, really sluggish right now. Going to be stop-and-go. Wadsworth all the way to Santa Fe. Also busy once you get past Broadway, trying to get up to the tech center there at I-25. Also working a fuel spill. Spilled load, Stacy, northbound Highway 85 at 168th Avenue. Rest of drive looking pretty good for us right now. We do have water main work there at southbound University and northbound around Yale, so there are some detours in place there around DU. Forecast, mostly sunny, small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Look for high around 80. Right now we're at 52 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss the final Tower One closeout at the Pinnacle at City Park South. Best deal ever on two bedrooms from just...
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or LowersHardwoods.com.
Say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea.
but it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-491-8149 or click on the banner above to go straight to our website. Remember, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Here's that number again,
1-800-491-8149. Ladies and gentlemen,
and
Showbiz.
Bruno is Sasha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
Airbags don't work and the car's electrical systems are rusting away. Avoid these waterlogged racks. Make sure you get a free Carfax vehicle history report from your dealer. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to Carfax.com.
Am I ever afraid to express my opinions?
Well, I live in a free country.
No.
That's why.
I'm probably a little hesitant sometimes, depending on who I'm with.
I've seen a lot of people in general discuss, you know, tightening their belts.
Frivolities.
Coffee. I have had to cut back on coffee because of the recession.
Which sucks. I go through caffeine withdrawals, but
I'm just thankful to have a job.
It's harder to get a job.
It does save me like $4 a day.
I'm kind of worried.
I'd like to think that the economy is getting better.
AM 760.
I feel like this is a great time for Americans to kind of hunker down and get back to basics.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. To fill you in, I'm going to be out of here next Monday and Tuesday, and then I'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I am very, very happy to let you know that on next Thursday we have booked an interview with Noam Chomsky. Yes, the Noam Chomsky. So I am extremely excited about that. Noam Chomsky is the world-renowned scholar, world-renowned bestseller, one of the most famous thinkers of the 20th and 21st centuries. And so he is going to be on our show next Thursday. And now, as promised, we're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. The question of the hour is whether President Obama has missed an opportunity in the nomination of Sonia Sotomayor. He's obviously seized an opportunity to appoint, to make a historic appointment on the issues of diversity, adding diversity to the court, the first Hispanic, Latina to the court. And I think that's incredibly, incredibly important. But when you look at the actual issues here, some liberal groups, some progressive groups, abortion rights groups are raising questions about Sotomayor's record on the substance. They're not doing what Tom Tancredo and Newt Gingrich are doing, which is calling Sotomayor a racist for giving speeches saying that her ethnicity and heritage and experience impacts her decisions. Of course it does. It impacts every judge's decision. But these groups are actually saying, listen, on the actual rules and issues of law that Sotomayor has ruled on, she's not really all that progressive. And in some cases, she has ruled in a very, very conservative way. For instance, siding with one big company, Merrill Lynch, against its allowing a class action suit to move forward. On issues tangential to abortion, she has sometimes ruled against abortion rights advocates. So do you think President Obama missed an opportunity to appoint a more movement progressive? 303-713-7600. Matt in Centennial. Matt, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Kudos on Noam Chomsky next week. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, luckily next week is the last week of school for us in Cherry Creek Schools, and so we'll get to hear it, because let's face facts, after school year's over, I'm not going to be getting up in the morning and listening to the show like I normally do. About the Supreme Court pick, I think this is a really smart decision on Barack Obama's part. I congratulate him on this, because he it's pretty obvious that he's probably going to get more than one pick for this court. I mean, you know, Stevens is, you know, 89 years old. He's only got at maximum two or three more years left. You know, he's definitely going to be retiring before Obama's out of office, and Ginsburg has had health issues, and you know, that gives him a chance now to pick somebody who is a historical pick as far as ethnicity or something else like that, you know, and putting another woman on the court. You know, it's a very smart decision for him to do a safe pick the first time, while he still only has 59 votes in the Senate as well.
So you're in the let's trust him. This is there's a political calculation here, and you're trusting that the next pick will be more progressive. Am I hearing you right?
Absolutely. I really think once Franken is seated in the Senate, Stevens will decide to retire, or Ginsburg, probably Stevens first. And I really think that's going to be an opportunity for Obama to play to the more progressive end of his party. And he is talking kind of out of both sides of his mouth, but I understand the need to do that. And I, you know, as far as my recommendation for the next pick, I would like to see somebody who is, who professes no religion, because one out of nine Americans profess no religion. And we have almost no voice in the Senate or the House or in the judicial branch.
All right. So, Matt, so here's the question. If the next after Sotomayor is appointed and confirmed, the next nominee, if the next nominee has a similar judicial record to Sotomayor, would you be disappointed?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that, buddy. So when that happens, make sure to call in, and we'll duke it back out in the dojo, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Jim in Lakewood. Jim, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
You know, I agree with you, and the material that I have read, and I've read a fair amount of it, is this woman is no progressive by any stretch of the imagination. And if you keep in mind that when you talk about politics and the judiciary, you are talking about center-right. The center of the judicial politics is to the right of popular politics for the most part. So I'm concerned about the fact that this is who she's appointed, who he's appointed. However, I'm wondering whether this isn't a more crass political move also, on top of all the firsts involved, and that is it's Obama's effort with this, with the Republicans at this point, to peel away the Latino community from any Republican affiliation at all, given the way the Republicans have responded.
So you see it as a potentially a kind of a crass electoral political calculation. Actually, maybe not crass, but bare-knuckled.
He used the term, but bare-knuckled, that's probably a better
term.
Yeah,
like a hardball political, electoral political calculation that if it doesn't actually, in his mind, matter as much her positions on legal issues, but that he can not only benefit himself and the Democratic Party by forwarding or appointing the first Hispanic to the Supreme Court, and therefore court Hispanic voters, he can actually bait the Republicans into alienating themselves from the Latino electorate.
From a very large portion of the electorate.
When they oppose the nomination.
And the last thing I want to point out, going back to the early days of the primaries, as you had 10, 12 Democratic candidates, where was Obama as you looked at them from virtually Hillary Clinton on one end and Kucinich on the other? Where was Obama in that political mix? He was in that group on the right end, as far as I was concerned, when I looked at his policies, whether you called it health care policies, whether you called it, any of the issues that you talked about, he wasn't the leftist candidate.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. I would say, you know, between him and Hillary Clinton, it was hard to say. I mean, you'd have to say that Hillary Clinton was the left of Barack Obama, you would have to trust that Hillary Clinton was disavowing much of her own record, and you would have to only believe her rhetoric.
Sure.
In at this tail end of the campaign.
And Barack Obama was at that end of the political spectrum in the Democratic Party, even at that time. And, you know, there was all of this hope for change and all the rest, but that was mostly style. You looked at his policies, and, you know, every other candidate from my perspective as a progressive, except Hillary Clinton, on individual policy issues, virtually every other candidate had a policy that I endorsed and did not endorse the policies, did not personally endorse Obama. As you know, you talk about free trade, Kucinich's position was by far the best.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And then John Edwards was better, too.
John Edwards had a better policy on health care because he had a public option in his plan, and Obama did not.
Yeah, that's right. And so I guess what you're saying you're not surprised, and that I certainly agree that there is the electoral political brilliance of this is pretty obvious. It's not even, I wouldn't even call it brilliant. It's an obviously smart move. Brilliance implies that there's some sort of amazing revelation. You know, I mean, putting up a centrist Hispanic nominee, as just in terms of it, the electoral political calculation, is a very, very smart, obvious move to court Hispanic voters. And by the way, I think Hispanic voters, you know, I don't think they vote like a monolith. I don't think any group votes like a monolith, but I certainly think there's a lot to be excited about. I think that Sotomayor's heritage is very, very important. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But what I am asking is whether Obama missed the boat in terms of being able to put a more movement progressive on the court, Hispanic, black, white, or otherwise, in terms of legal rulings. And Sotomayor's record is not that of a movement progressive, as you said. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 here on AM 760. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think President Obama in some ways missed the boat on this Supreme Court nominee of Sonia Sotomayor, knowing that she has a more conservative record than many of the other potential candidates who could have been nominated? Mark in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, I'd like to continue my conversation with you from yesterday when you cut me off for news. And made your point about that the Republicans are going to come after her for her racist comments. That wasn't my entire statement. The rest of it was that they don't need to come after her for that because, for instance, her ruling record, when it's bumped to a higher court, has an 80% rejection rate against what she said. That's something they can go against her for.
What does that mean, against what she said?
When she makes a ruling and it goes to a higher court, they overrule.
So that's your reason, because she's put forward rulings that were rejected by a right-wing legal system, a right-wing Supreme Court. That's the reason that she should be opposed?
And it goes back to the Clinton appointee that chastised her in writing about the Connecticut Richardson firefighter ruling. A liberal Hispanic chastised her for not knowing what she's talking about.
This is on the affirmative action case.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, to your point about whether the reversal rate should be a qualifying or disqualifying factor, let me just put forward an alternative feeling about that, which is that I'm, as a progressive, more comfortable. I am reassured in some ways by that fact. And I can understand you as a conservative are upset about that. But as a progressive, I am reassured by the fact that Sonia Sotomayor was issuing some rulings that actually countered what I see as an extraordinarily right-wing Supreme Court and right-wing legal system in general. In fact, to me, it's a validator of the fact that she's at least at some times willing to challenge the status quo.
Okay, and that goes back to my point from a couple of days ago when we were talking about how do they interpret when she said that. I don't know, I'm sure you've heard the sound of her saying that she legislates from the bench.
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
Okay. That is in contradiction with my belief of what a judge should
do.
Okay, and you said that they're there to interpret the gray areas, and I thought about it for a while, and actually they're not supposed to use their life experience to judge the gray areas. They're supposed to use the Constitution, and those are the things that she's been rejected on 80% of the
time.
Yeah,
but Mark, I mean, I respect your right to disagree with her as a conservative and oppose her nomination. I absolutely respect your right, and I respect your position on the principles of it. And you should respect my right to think that her progressive stances are okay. The only thing that I would say is, again, in terms of this debate about whether judges legislate on the bench or not, most of these, you're saying that it's their job to interpret it based on the Constitution. If you don't think that all of those judges there don't bring their life experiences to looking at the Constitution and then interpreting cases, then I'm sorry. I just think you're wrong. I just think it doesn't make sense. John Roberts, a rich, privileged white male, when he looks at the Constitution and then interprets statutes based on how he looks at the Constitution, the way he looks at the Constitution is impacted by his life experience, whether overtly and explicitly or subconsciously. If Sotomayor's crime on that set of issues is that she's just admitted that, well then, yeah, she's guilty. She's honest. And I got to give her credit for that. What I have trouble with is her actual conservative rulings on a number of issues. Thanks for the call. 7:36, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think President Obama missed a progressive opportunity in the nomination of Sonia Sotomayor? Certainly he made history, and I think that's a great thing, adding diversity to the court. It's a huge thing. It's a really important thing. But on the actual legal issues, Sotomayor is being questioned by some progressives on issues like abortion, gay marriage, the death penalty, some economic issues. Not exactly a predictable progressive. Did Obama miss an opportunity to put a movement progressive, a progressive version of, say, Scalia, on the court? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Traffic really busy on C-470, both directions, eastbound Wadsworth to Santa Fe, again Broadway past Quebec. Westbounders now getting tied up in the foothills. She's making way Bowles all the way around to 285. Speeds in the 30s and 40s in that stretch, though. Really heavy southbound I-25 in North Glen, again near downtown after I-70. Stop-and-go conditions in Aurora, southbound 225 Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. Still working this accident on the ramp from southbound 25 to County Line. Not really affecting traffic, but is catching some looks. And also a fuel-spilled load, Stacy, northbound Highway 85 at 168th Avenue. Forecast, mostly sunny, warmer, highs pushing into the low 80s. Could be breezy, too, with a small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Right now, we're sitting at 56 degrees in Denver, looking like a really nice day. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What's the difference between a bug and a biker? The side of the windshield you're on. Bikers Unite, the 9th annual Mile High Harley-Davidson Bug Run and Summer Kickoff Party is June 6th. Music, food, sale merchandise, and helicopter rides. See milehigh-harley.com for details.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, a hospital worker.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery's spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
.com. That's Rocky's Autos at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it. Just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
People won't believe that $1 trillion bailout package will work because it won't. Billions went to AIG, the big banks, and Wall Street, who then paid themselves billions in undeserved bonuses. And it did nothing to stimulate the economy. Think about it. How can we immediately get money circulating into the economy, create millions of new jobs, and solve the housing, credit, and banking crisis? Well, here's a plan that'll actually work and is supported by a majority of Americans. It's called the one-year mortgage holiday, and it costs less. All mortgage payments and foreclosures would stop for 1 year, allowing all homeowners and businesses to refinance at a lower 4% fixed 30-year loan. The government would reimburse interest on the debt to the mortgage holders and banks, giving Americans the time and money to get their financial house in order, and let the people choose how to best spend, save, and invest their own money. Learn more at SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
AutoZone. Summer's the time to keep your car running and looking clean. Keep it washed, waxed, and don't forget to work on the tires.
Get in the zone.
Tires take a pounding from more than the pavement, and AutoZone can help you keep them from cracking and fading. Right now at AutoZone, get Meguiar's Hot Shine Tire Products, your choice, $3.99 each. See store for restrictions and details. Keep your car running and looking better longer. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Have you ever traded in a car or truck only to find out you owe more than it's worth? Well, Chevy is here to help with something new, something no one else offers. Vehicle Value Protection, helping to cover you if there's a difference between what you owe and the car's retail value, up to $5,000 at trade-in. We know it's a new idea, and you might have questions. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for details and limitations. Program provided by Service Plan, Inc. Excludes medium-duty trucks. Take delivery by 6109.
For Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think President Obama missed an opportunity to nominate a more progressive judge to the Supreme Court? Sonia Sotomayor, obviously a historic choice. She would be the first Hispanic on the court. I think that's extremely important. And that unto itself, by the way, is progressive. Adding diversity to the court is certainly progressive. And Sotomayor, some liberal groups are raising questions about her actual record on specific issues. Not clear. The New York Times has a story saying that she is, in some cases, ruled against abortion rights advocates. She has ruled with big business often. She is known as a quote-unquote moderate centrist, which in political speak means, at least in my interpretation, she leans conservative on some issues. Has President Obama missed an opportunity to nominate a more movement progressive on the set of issues that the Supreme Court actually deals with? Rick and Greeley, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David, how are you today?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say a couple things about it. I think, on the one hand, I agree with you. I think maybe he could have chosen a more progressive person. But on the other hand, what is the agenda behind the pick here? And one of your callers earlier had touched on that. Like, what is the political agenda behind this? What is Obama's agenda for choosing her, and then in turn, what is she going to be standing for? And which leads me to my second point is the whole race and gender thing that I think is being blown out of proportion, especially on the right. They're turning it into some you know, she's a woman, she's a Latina, and that's going to cause problems for our way of life. And it always makes me wonder if it was a white man that he had chosen with the same rulings, you know, would they even say anything about that?
No, they would say absolutely nothing. That's absolutely
right.
True. And I'm glad you've helped us segue. As promised, I want to play this clip from Tom Tancredo. And so hang on here, Rick.
Okay.
We'll get back to your call in a second. I just want to, because you've segued into it, I just want to play this clip from Tom Tancredo on MSNBC just to give you everybody a taste of where the right wing wants to drive this debate into. They want to drive this debate into one about race and ethnicity. Here's Tom Tancredo on MSNBC.
You know, Tom Tancredo, if there's no red flag out there, if there's no glaring issue, wouldn't it be political suicide to challenge a Hispanic woman, which also is part of the fastest growing demographic politically in this country? What would be your strategy to make sure that she doesn't get on the court?
If, in fact, there were nothing to challenge her on, I would suggest that they don't challenge her on anything. Unfortunately for her, and fortunately for us, there are plenty of things that we've even talked about here already that you keep ignoring. I'm telling you, she appears to be a racist. She said things that are racist in any other context. That's exactly how we would portray it. And there's no one that would get on the Supreme Court saying a thing like that except for a Hispanic woman, and you're going to say, it doesn't matter. Well, man, where are you coming from? How can you possibly say that?
Bill Press is she protecting?
I don't know. It's just amazing.
Bill Press,
there's plenty of stuff.
Okay, Bill, I got to ask you, is she going to get special protection in the public arena because she's a woman, a Hispanic? What about that?
No, she's not going to get any special protection. She's going to be examined as a candidate for the Supreme Court, Ed. And I think one thing we got to lay on the table, which Tom seems to ignore, is, right, all the years as a district attorney, as a corporate attorney, as a trial judge, and then as an appellate court judge, she brings to the court, listen to this, more judicial experience than any member of the court now sitting on the Supreme Court had when they were nominated. I mean, she's extremely well qualified.
You can still be a racist and have all of those things in your background.
Mike Allen,
you can be a racist and have all that stuff in your background.
All right, Mike Allen as a journalist, would you say that she's a racist? Mike Allen as a journalist, quickly, would you check out and see if she had some racist comments?
No.
Okay, that pretty much says it. Gentlemen, good to have you.
You won't do it? You won't check it out? There you go. They won't even check it out.
She's not a racist. She's not a racist, Tom.
So that was Ed Schultz, the Ed Schultz Show, Bill Press, Mike Allen, and Tom Tancredo. And that's where the Tancredo wing wants to drive this. You heard all the same themes that we heard from, remember, that angry caller a couple days ago who said, minorities get all sorts of preferences, and Sotomayor, for instance, will have it easy because she is Hispanic. I mean, they want to drive this into a debate over race. The one thing I think is true is that I do think a discussion of Sotomayor's heritage and experience has trumped a discussion of where she is on actual issues. And that's what we're trying to hash out here.
Right, and that's actually what I was going to say about it, is I think it's become more, and on both sides of the on both sides of the spectrum, I think obviously the rights are concerned about it, but most people on the left, I think, are glorifying the fact that, hey, we've got a woman, hey, we've got a Hispanic on there, and that's a fantastic thing. Well, I agree that it is a good thing because it could bring more awareness to it, but at the same time, what is her rulings going to be? I mean, what does that history show? And it shouldn't be solely about the color of a person's skin or the gender that they are. Of course, that plays into it, but I don't want this pick and this nomination to be only remembered, just like I don't want Barack Obama's presidency to only be remembered because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, and it's not just being remembered by. But I would go further and say that if we don't actually get a sense of where this person is on issues, if that's not taken into account in her confirmation fight, then it's possible, I'm not saying it's probable, but it's certainly possible that Sotomayor could move the court to the right. I heard on the drive in this morning, Jonathan Turley, the professor from George Washington, the legal scholar, saying that he thinks on many issues, Sotomayor is to the right of Souter.
And the fact that we haven't even really had a discussion about that, that the discussion has been so dominated by the historic nature of her nomination, I think is not such a great thing. Rick, thanks for the call. 7:48, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Deb from Broomfield, you're in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Hi. I think that he did miss the boat with her. I don't question her qualifications or her gender or her ethnicity, but the court is so business bent. We really need somebody on the court that's individual bent, and I don't think she is with some of the rulings that I've read. We really need somebody that advocates for the individual in a court that advocates for business.
Yeah, I mean, those are such a huge set of issues that so often get ignored in these Supreme Court nomination fights. John Roberts, let me give you an example. John Roberts was this huge, big-time corporate lawyer and had worked for all sorts of companies with business in front of the court. I mean, really, about the most right-wing corporate conservative pick you can get. It was barely talked about, the fact that his major formative experience was as a big-time corporate lawyer defending huge corporations. That was barely in the debate at all. By the way, barely in the debate thanks to both conservatives and liberals. I think one of the problems in this country, and one of the problems of the progressive left, is that on issues like this, we focus almost exclusively on social issues and almost very, very rarely on business issues, corporate power issues, economic issues, even though we know statistically that the court, more than half of what the court actually deals with are those business, corporate power, and economic issues. And I think you're right.
And those are the things that have gotten us into trouble with our economy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right that in the discussion so far over Sotomayor, we're, again, not even having a discussion about these issues. And so that's what we're trying to do here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo this morning. It is open. And we are going to debate this out. Do you think President Obama missed the boat in the sense of not appointing a more movement progressive? Sotomayor, certainly a historic nomination, and certainly, I think, on the issue of adding diversity to the court, very, very important. But some of her rulings are really not progressive at all. And so do you think President Obama missed a big opportunity to put, say, a liberal version of Scalia on the court? Deb, thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. Give us a call. Come on into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after a traffic update with John Turk.
Stop and go in a few different areas. Westbound Turnpike now getting busy. Boulder-bound folks hitting snags. Sheridan Boulevard out to Wadsworth. Stop and go there. Same situations. Eastbound C-470 down on the south side of town from Wadsworth to Santa Fe. And normal jams coming out of Aurora. Southbound 225 going to be really sluggish there from about Iliff down to the interchange. A few surface street situations. A crash northbound Santa Fe just after Florida. Also got a crash on the left shoulder northbound I-25 around Bellevue. It's not really in traffic, but it is slowing people down. Catching a look there. Also got this water main work on University near Yale. They do have some detours in place for northbound, or southbound is restricted to one lane. So that is what our drive is looking like. Your forecast, mostly sunny. A small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Look for a high of 80. Right now, it's 57 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the information you need before you spend money. Visit denver.bbb.org. That's denver.bbb.org.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman from KKZN. If you're ready to consolidate debt,
enjoy the summer on your outside deck.
The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular paved stone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from The Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th and Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If The Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
2770. Again, 303-749-2770. You can call Presidential Brokerage at that number. Mike gives us an update every day on where the market is. A lot of economic news out there. I saw news about home resales up because of people getting some good deals in some of the most hard-hit foreclosed areas in the country. What other news you got for us? What's going on in the market, Mike?
Well, we did get the jobless claims today, initial jobless claims. And again, unfortunately, you know, I'd like to put a positive spin on it. I guess the best spin we could put on it is that companies appear to be cutting fewer workers. So they're laying off less than they were. However, the number of people continuing to receive unemployment benefits rose to 6.78 million. That's the largest total on records dating back to 1967. It's the 17th straight record week. So, again, a lot of people looking for work out there. We do have some good news in that next year we're going to get a real good tax break if you would like to take advantage of it. A lot of people are wondering about a Roth, whether they should Roth or not to Roth. That is the question, right? Roth or not to Roth, that's the question. And there are a lot of factors to consider, but one of the neat things that's happening in 2010, many of the laws are changing. If you would like to turn your traditional IRA, which simply means, I know you know this, David, but for some of the listeners that don't, when they take money out of their IRA in retirement, it will be taxed at that point. If you convert to a Roth, it will come out without taxes. That means we have to pay the taxes now, but there are some ways to delay those taxes and let it grow in that account. So if you want some information on whether or not you should Roth, we can run an analysis for you and tell you about it, and it's free. Give us a call at Presidential Brokerage, and we'll share with you the what we think as to whether or not you should Roth or not Roth. Next year is the big year to do that because you've got a couple of years to pay the taxes if you do it in 2010, David.
I have had to debate that all the time, and I've gone back and forth with that over years. It's a really, really complicated kind of situation, and I encourage you to give Mike and Presidential Brokerage a call, 303-749-2770, to look into that. Again, 303-749-2770. Mike Spear and his team at Presidential Brokerage. Mike, thanks for the update. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And my suggestion for Supreme Court Justice, David Sirota.
All right. All I got to do is get a law degree first.
Might help.
Talk to you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Flying out today? The parking lots at DIA are filling fast. Save time on your way by exiting Peña Boulevard at Tower Road and go left to U.S. Airport Parking. While you're there, save money on our covered spots. U.S. Airport Parking. It's so easy.
/7:56, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. We're talking about Sonia Sotomayor. Did President Obama miss the boat in not nominating a more progressive candidate? Obviously, a historic nomination. I think it's fantastic that there's potentially going to be a Hispanic on the court. But what about her more conservative voting record? Some people think she's going to be more conservative and that her record is more conservative than the Justice David Souter that she is replacing. Tom in Evergreen, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, David, I love what you've done with this show. It's really compelling and interesting. You know, I would say that that he hasn't missed the boat at all because he's going to get a couple more opportunities to appoint nominees to the court.
So you're in the trust him camp.
Well, yeah, I don't think that, you know, his next couple of nominations are going to be, you know, identical to Sotomayor. I think that there's a good chance that he'll appoint a true liberal when he gets the opportunity.
Okay, so then the question then is, and I'll ask it to you, if he appointed Sotomayor, let's say when Stevens retires, or somebody like a Sotomayor with the same record on legal issues, would you be disappointed?
If if he appointed someone different now and then appointed Sotomayor second or third?
No, meaning if he took somebody who was just like Sotomayor the next time, would you be disappointed?
Well, yeah, I guess I would be disappointed. I'd like to see some ideological and intellectual diversity on the court as well.
And that's exactly right. So here's what I want you to do. The next time a Supreme Court nomination happens, I want you to call up and we'll hash it out again. All right, stick around. We got Ed Perlmutter, Congressman Ed Perlmutter. In the next hour, we're going to ask him a bunch of these questions as well. So stick around.
Tom Hartman on AM 760. Everybody's going to
love to... Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the Xcel solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SOLARIPS.com.
Business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani, and there's breaking news from Detroit. GM bondholders have reportedly accepted a sweetened offer to restructure the company's crushing debt load. Wall Street Journal automotive reporter John Stoll has the bottom line.
What GM is doing is essentially paving the way for a quick and expedient bankruptcy court by offering them a new in-court offer if these bondholders don't oppose a quick bankruptcy.
Instead of the 10% they were originally offered, the bondholders would get a 15% equity stake in the company when GM emerges from bankruptcy. Visteon, a major parts supplier, has filed for bankruptcy. CBS's Jeff Gilbert has that.
Take a look at your car's interior. There's a good chance it was made by Visteon. They are also heavily into stereos, DVD players, and other electronics. 31% of Visteon sales still go to former parent firm Ford, which is stepping in to finance the bankruptcy to make sure that Visteon's plants keep operating and the parts keep flowing.
The government is reporting a solid gain in April orders for durable goods and a drop in new unemployment insurance claims. Economist Peter Morici says the labor market isn't getting any worse. At the same time, it's not getting much better.
The pace of layoffs continues to be quite significant, and the job losses each month, while they will decline, will remain quite large for several more months.
A hodgepodge of federal agencies that are supposed to keep an eye on the nation's banks failed to stop the mortgage meltdown that brought the industry and the economy to its knees. The Wall Street Journal says that's why the White House is considering creation of a single new bank regulator. Industry analyst Gerard Cassidy likes the idea.
Every agency dropped the ball. The SEC dropped the ball. The bank regulators dropped the ball. Nobody can stand up there and say they did their job as best as they could.
A woman who's eating for two should put on weight, but how much? CBS's Barry Bagnato has the latest informed opinion.
For the first time in nearly 20 years, pregnancy weight gain guidelines are being updated. An Institute of Medicine report groups women by weight and then sets ranges. One of the authors, University of North Carolina nutrition expert Dr. Anna Maria Ciegarese.
Women should be gaining within these targeted weight gain ranges in order to have healthy outcomes both for themselves and for their infant.
Women with normal weight should gain an extra 25 to 35 pounds. Obese women, 20 pounds tops. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Powerball lottery officials still don't know who bought the lone winning ticket for last night's $232 million jackpot, but they do know where it was bought. Winner, South Dakota. Pat Nielsen lives there.
I'm in a small cafe, and everybody's checking their tickets, and the excitement is high.
Come Monday, credit cards will be the only payment accepted on many American Airlines flights for passengers who buy food, beverages, headsets, and other items. In early trading, the Dow's up 13 points. This is CBS News.
Let's face it, you love a beautiful yard, but have better things to do than waste time weeding. The long-lasting way to keep areas weed-free is with Preen Weed Control Fabric. Nothing controls weeds longer and is chemical-free. Preen Fabric is ideal for new shrub beds and rock beds. And lay it down before planting veggies for a weed-free season with no chemical. Preen Weed Control Fabric. Long-lasting, no-chemical weed control for new shrub beds, rock beds, and veggies. Visit preen.com. Preen works so you don't have to.
The Home Depot has new lower prices on select patio sets. You'll save 25% or more. But keep your seat. It gets better. Put those savings towards something to enjoy while sitting pretty on the patio. Like a new flat of flowers, a new grill, or maybe some outdoor lighting for those cool evenings you'll spend thanks to our new lower prices on select patio sets. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. It's been an every other game series, and it was the Lakers' turn last night.
Me personally, I thought we played extremely hard tonight. You know, they won the basketball game. Can't take nothing away from them. Same intensity on our home court, you know, come Friday.
Carmelo Anthony, who led all scorers with 31 points, but the Lakers win the game by 9. The Nuggets trail the series 3-2, and Game 6 is tomorrow night at Pepsi Center. Boulder police say a father shot his wife and son and then himself in a murder-suicide in Boulder on Tuesday. Sarah Huntley with Boulder PD.
Well, it certainly looks like he'd been threatening to do this for some time. We also found a note. It wasn't really a suicide note per se. It was more of a note spelling out how he wanted his body and his family's bodies handled for funeral arrangements.
The father, Philip DeLeo, was a Boulder police officer in the 70s. He was fired for department violations. Denver police have arrested a 12-year-old boy who they say tried to take an incendiary device through a security checkpoint at DIA. Police said the boy had a homemade device similar to a flare, but that it didn't ignite and no passengers were in danger. Sports, Rockies lose to the Dodgers 8-6. They are off today, and the Padres are in town for the weekend. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
We're seeing some delays on the westbound side of 36. This on the approach to Sheridan, so it's going to tack some time onto your ride as you're trying to get to Boulder. We'll break loose for a little bit, then bog down again at McCaslin, taking you up towards Table Mesa. There's surface street crashes northbound Santa Fe. This is north of Florida. Should be out of the way shortly. And then you may run into some slight slowdowns in the tech center on the northbound side of I-25. A couple cars off to the left shoulder, catching some looks. Tap your brakes once you get to Hampton, making your way up towards that Colorado curve. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Babies cry. So what's your plan? Learn the important steps every parent must take to protect their child from shaken baby syndrome, the leading cause of trauma death in Colorado kids under 2 feet. Visit calmacryingbaby.org today.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
806 here on a beautiful, beautiful Front Range day. Going up to the high 70s. That sounds just about like sandals weather, so I'm pretty psyched about that. All right, as promised, on the line we have Congressman Ed Perlmutter.
And we are. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. We're welcoming you into, right now, the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Fear does not exist in this dojo.
So welcome to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, Congressman Ed Perlmutter. We'll try to not go too hard in our sparring session here. How are things going for you?
Good. Was that from Karate Kid?
You got it. Very good. Very good. I'm very impressed with your 80s movie knowledge. Excellent.
I love that movie. So.
It's a great, great movie. Okay, so there's a lot of news going on here. We'll go from local and all the way up to national. Let's start with local. The proposed NASCAR racetrack that would be, I think, in your district.
Yeah.
It is at the near I-70 and E-470. The controversy around it has been that the legislature basically passed what could end up being a taxpayer subsidy to help build this thing. Some critics have said we shouldn't be subsidizing a racetrack at a time of tough budgets. What's your response to that? And then also, how do you think the community will react to having potentially a 100,000-person venue in the community? Will people like it out there, or are there going to be some people who are going to say, "Hey, I'm not that interested in having such a huge facility out there"? Taxpayer issues aside.
Well, I think both things bring a little controversy with them. Taxpayer subsidy for this, taxpayers are going to have to vote on it first of all, so it's going to be their choice. I think it brings potential revenue to the 7th CD and to the Denver metropolitan area if and when it's built. And, there are a lot of great ideas here, and we'll see if they all come to fruition. Now, again, with the vote, it's going to be people in that community determining whether they want to have a TIF or, tax increment financing, and whether they want to have that kind of a venue in place. I know NASCAR and, different organizations have been looking at Colorado for probably the last 10 years, and, a number of ideas have been floated, and a number have not succeeded, so we'll see how this goes.
We're talking to Congressman Ed Perlmutter of the 7th District of Colorado. We were just talking about the NASCAR issue. We'll move up a little bit to some federal issues. Now, in front of your committee, on the Financial Services Committee, you have been discussing financial regulations. President Obama recently moved to start using some executive authority to try to regulate some of those unregulated derivatives tradings that were at the core of the economic meltdown. Where are we? Just give us an update of where we are in the process of regulating the financial system.
We've done some things on the margin with respect to subprime loans, which is a bill we passed last week, and the credit card legislation, which we passed last week. But now we're getting into the heart of regulating what I kind of liken to a public utility. You have to have a banking system to keep things moving, and our banking system was on its knees, last fall. And there are going to be some major pieces and a major overhaul, I think, and probably a reinstitution of a number of regulations that the New Deal put in place, because it saw that, a banking system is important to the overall economy, and you're going to try to keep it upright, and you'll do pretty much anything to do that, meaning the little guys are going to end up picking up the pieces when it falls apart. And so we're going to put a lot of regulation back into place. We're looking at what's called a systemic regulator, or a council that looks at whether there are bubbles or excesses within the financial system. I think we're going to take a good look at how big some of these institutions are and use some antitrust laws and maybe some Glass-Steagall-like legislation to rein it in.
How furious has the lobbying been to try to water down, shape, or otherwise change what's moving through Congress right now? I mean, how much is it, do you walk into the committee every day and you're just, you're elbowing your way through Wall Street lobbyists, or is it something different?
It has not been serious lobbying, not at least as it applies to me, and I think I'm sort of in the mix on this subject. I think everybody's just kind of taking a wait and see to see how it distills, where we're going to re-regulate, where we're going to, maybe use some antitrust laws, what this systemic regulator is going to look like. Is it an individual, or is it, my idea is more of a council. I think it should be maybe headed by the Federal Reserve, but with the chairman of the FDIC, the chairman of the SEC, the secretary of the Treasury, the head of the commodities, so that we see the whole playing field. The financial system is so gigantic, and
You know, when you get to the investment bankers, their job is to come up with, you know, ideas and risk taking and things like that. I think it's going to take more than just one person to see the whole field.
We're talking to Congressman Ed Perlmutter of the 7th District of Colorado. One note, he's going to have a listening session. I guess it's tonight. Today from 11 to 1 p.m. At the Gobin Community Center in Rocky Ford, Colorado. You'll be talking about water issues there with Congressman John Salazar. Talk to us a little bit about the water issues, if you can. It's been pretty confusing. We had on somebody from out on the West Slope from Salida about Nestle's plan to take more water out of the rivers out there. What's the latest on that? What is the federal role potentially in making sure that all the areas that deal with all of these water issues have access to water? Obviously, Aurora has a connection to the Arkansas River Basin. So a lot of these things, a lot of these water issues, they may be happening far away, but they impact all of us. What's the latest on that?
Let me talk to you about the reason I'm going to Rocky Ford. There is an agreement which has been reached between the city of Aurora and a number of the water districts along the Arkansas as it goes from Pueblo down to the Kansas border. And the agreements really are ways for Aurora to acquire water on a lease basis so that the farmers aren't dried up, but that Aurora can provide water to the citizens up in the metropolitan area. And the federal issue is how much storage of water can Aurora have in the Pueblo Reservoir. And there are federal issues, and John Salazar and I sometimes don't see eye to eye on this question. And that's why we're having this town meeting in Rocky Ford to really see how the citizens along the Arkansas Valley are feeling about all of this. I'm hoping that what we're going to hear is that they feel they've worked out good arrangements with the city of Aurora that have benefited them, have not harmed them, and that this is a win-win for everybody. Well, that's the purpose of this listening session. Now, the Nestle's I'm not really that familiar with Nestle's. They want to be able to have water for, you know, the different products that they or the water that they're going to sell, the bottled water that they're going to sell. And I know the town of Salida, some people have issues with it, but I'm not that familiar with that one.
Okay. We're talking to Congressman Ed Perlmutter of the 7th District. He is going to, again, be at a town hall meeting today in Rocky Ford at the Gobin Community Center. Last question for you. Let's just talk for a second raw politics here. There was a new poll out a couple weeks ago showing Governor Ritter very, very weak. One of the weakest re-election numbers of any governor in the country. I'd just be curious. What are your thoughts about that? Why do you think that is? Maybe you don't even believe the numbers. And is there any thinking on your part that you may be doing anything other than running for re-election to your current House seat in 2010?
David, you're a troublemaker.
That's what they pay me the big bucks to do.
The first is I'm running for Congress. That's all I'm doing. And Bill
Boo.
Is a friend of mine. I know. Bill is a friend of mine. I support him. I want people to close ranks around him. And he's had to make some tough calls. And he has, irritated our friends, some of my friends in organized labor. He's irritated friends of mine in the business community. I mean, he's had to make some tough calls, and he's not won a lot of friends in doing that. But at the end of the day, people are going to see him as, a good Coloradan trying to do what's best for our state, looking at all the interests that come into play. And, you know, I'm not sure I believe in the polls that I saw, but within the polls, he was double. His numbers were double anybody who might be opposing him. So, you know, I want him to do well. I want him to succeed, and I'm supporting him in every way I can.
Well, let me just put you on the spot for one second and ask you a specific question. I won't even ask you about, I mean, Governor Ritter vetoed that bill recently to allow those who were locked out of their jobs to get unemployment benefits. Without asking you to comment on that veto, I mean, is it safe to assume that you, in your role as a federal legislator, if that issue ever came up, that you support the concept of those who get unwittingly locked out of their jobs should have access to at least apply for unemployment benefits? I'm just curious your take on the overall issue.
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason, and I think the law, that's the law that was in place until 1999 or 2000.
Right.
And Bill Owens changed it. His philosophy and his view of the world, I think, was, you know, he imposed it. That was his right at that time as governor, but I don't think it was the right view. Bill Ritter's problem was this bill comes up right in the middle of negotiations. And so I understand the pickle that he found himself in, but from a philosophical policy point of view, I would have supported, workers who are locked out to be able to apply for unemployment insurance.
Although I'll just throw this at you in terms of the timing issue. If you believe in the philosophy behind the reform, that workers need to be able to have access to unemployment benefits, and that to have them not have that access disempowers them, then if in the middle of a labor fight, you'd sort of want to rush to make sure that they have it so that they're not disempowered in that labor fight. But that was certainly, you're right, the timing issue was the issue that was brought up by Governor Ritter. As I said, I'm a little bit disappointed that you're only running for re-election. As you know, I'm a big fan of yours, but hey, it is a great job and you're doing a great job. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
I see ya, and let's get together more often.
Absolutely. Anytime. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was Congressman Ed Perlmutter of the 7th District of Colorado, one of the good guys fighting the good fight. We actually have some good Democrats in this state. I mean, we really do. We got Ed Perlmutter. I think Betsy Markey is fantastic. I think Jared Polis is doing some good things. So, and Diana DeGette, of course, is always usually a rock-solid vote. We're trying to get her on, by the way, about her bill to crack down on the natural gas companies, make them follow some laws about clean water. And so we've actually got some good Democrats down the ticket here. If you listen to this show, I've been a little critical of Bill Ritter. I think he's been extremely weak, especially of late. And unnecessarily so. I just don't buy the idea that if you live in a swing state or a somewhat conservative state like ours, you need to back down on core Democratic issues. I don't buy it. You know why I don't buy it? Because I've lived in more conservative states than this. I've worked on winning campaigns and seen politicians in those states not back down. 820, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll do a little news rundown. I'll update you on some of the stories you probably haven't heard during the day that you need to know about. And then we'll reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo about Sonia Sotomayor. We're going to duke it out on a set of issues that is getting short shrift about her Supreme Court nomination. So stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still really slamming out there around the freeways in Denver anyway. Southbound 225. Really heavy, slow speeds, teens and 20s, Parker Road to 25. Same deal on 25, southbound, going to be heavy up in Northland, 120th to 84th, again from 70 past Spear. Northbound filling up now from Downing Street up to around 6th Avenue. Also got some heavy traffic going westbound on the Turnpike, Sheridan to Wadsworth, and a few surface street things to let you know about. Rollover crash, two cars involved, 8th and Dahlia. Another accident northbound Santa Fe around Florida. And we also got this water main work at University and Vassar. That's just a little bit south there of Yale. Forecast, mostly sunny, warm with highs pushing into the low 80s. Could be breezy too with a small chance for afternoon thunderstorms. Right now, 61 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Clarissa's hatching a plan to find the perfect guy, but she's about to discover her perfect guy just may have a planet. Enjoy the summer on your outside deck. The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular paved stone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from the Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th and Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call the Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If the Lumber Guy has it, you will see.
Putting the magic into Urban Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Let's see if you can do rush withdrawal.
See, the drugster was out and about on his radio show a couple of days ago talking about how MSNBC could not go a full 30 days without invoking his name or having somebody make a comment about him, that we do it on the network for ratings and we just can't survive without him. Okay, I'll do it. If you can go 30 days without saying a racist or a sexist or a derogatory remark about the president.
Ed Schultz, mornings 10 to 1.
That's what you do. You don't know the difference.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. As I mentioned, and you're going to be hearing a lot about this in the lead-up to it, I'm pretty psyched. We got an interview with Noam Chomsky scheduled for next week, next Thursday. So we'll be reminding you about that in the days ahead. Chomsky is a, if you don't know him, he is a world-famous scholar, thinker on all sorts of political issues. The New York Times has called him the most powerful intellect. I believe they called him the most powerful intellect of the 20th century. So very, very excited to have him on the show. That's next Thursday. Right now, we'll do a little bit of a news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Okay, so locally, real quickly, $12 million in federal stimulus funds coming to Colorado to boost summer employment. That's, again, that's a stimulus funds to deal with youth unemployment, especially during the summer. FDIC reports that Colorado banks have lost a total of $47 million in the first quarter. That contrasts with a $3 million gain in the last quarter and a $97 million gain in the first quarter of last year. So the downward trend is real, and it's happening here. Xcel Energy on Wednesday was granted by the Colorado Public Utilities Commission the right to raise electricity rates by a combined total of $112 million to cover costs of systems upgrades. That's about $3 a month for the average residential bills, about $5 a month, about $4.42 a month for the average small business. Talked during the 6 a.m. hour about DaVita, the big dialysis company coming to Colorado. It's a Fortune 500 company, and they announced they're coming to Colorado, and they cited specifically taxpayer subsidies approved by the legislature. And municipal governments are now going to expected to start competing to offer up their own taxpayer subsidies to get DaVita to decide to build its headquarters in their specific county. DaVita said they're coming to Colorado. Apparently they haven't said exactly where they're going to locate their headquarters. And so now the race to the bottom continues between counties trying to outbid each other in terms of what they're willing to give away, what taxpayer goodies they're willing to give away to get DaVita to locate there. Same thing, there's the proposal for a up to 100,000 person stadium and racetrack for NASCAR in Aurora, straddling I-70 east of E-470. This would include a 1 mile oval speedway, a 4 mile road course, and a go-kart facility in seat between 65,000 and 100,000 fans. The developers there said that a taxpayer subsidy up to $50 million approved by the legislature will help them build this. And of course, taxpayers will not have any share of the gate, even if we put that money up. Several conservation groups, according to the Associated Press, are asking to intervene on the state's behalf in a lawsuit challenging Colorado's new oil and gas regulations. Seven groups filed a motion Wednesday in Denver District Court saying they want to overturning the new rules would endanger the state's air and water quality, hunting and fishing, and the economy. The oil and gas industry is trying to get these rules to be overturned. In Boulder County staffers are recommending that farmers who lease agricultural land from the Open Space Department be allowed to plant genetically modified sugar beets. Genetically modified stuff is pretty controversial. The agriculture industry estimates already, however, that 90% of all sugar beets cultivated in the United States are already Roundup ready, that is, genetically modified to be resistant pesticides and herbicides. The Greeley Tribune reports that the bill to defend Weld District Attorney Ken Buck and Sheriff John Cook in a lawsuit against their immigration sweep last year has topped $97,000, and the cost could continue to rise under appeal. The Weld County government, meaning you, if you're in Weld County, you the taxpayers, footing the bill for the legal defense of these two jokers. On the National Wire is an AP report. It's on their News of the Weird section. Maybe the Colorado town of Basalt isn't so welcoming after all. That's the impression government officials fear people will get when they enter the town, because new posted signs say warning in red letters right before the sign that reads Welcome to Basalt. The warning refers to a town ordinance that prohibits drivers from letting their cars idle for more than 2 minutes. But one town councilwoman says having the signs so close together makes the town daunting and not so welcoming. Yeah, you think? National news. The Hill newspaper reports that Arlen Specter, who just became a Democrat, is going to, in fact, probably face a major Democratic primary in Pennsylvania. Democratic leaders, including President Obama, have asked for no primary to Specter in the Democratic primary. But Representative Joe Sestak, the congressman from Pennsylvania and former military man, is thinking about running against Specter in that Democratic primary, actually says that he's probably going to do it. Wall Street Journal has a pretty scary expose saying that as the recession batters city budgets around the country, some municipalities are considering the once unthinkable option of dissolving themselves through something called disincorporation. Basically, dissolving entire towns. The insurance industry, unfortunately, may be more at the table in healthcare reform than you think. President Obama's plan to overhaul the healthcare system could dodge one of the bullets that felled Clinton-era reforms by maintaining an active and independent role for private insurance companies, so says the Congressional Budget Office. In their report, they say that a government mandate requiring people to buy health insurance would not necessarily be considered a new form of federal tax, so long as people had a variety of private plans. Notice they're not talking about a public plan, unfortunately. Had a variety of private plans from which to choose, and as long as a government entity was not in charge of collecting their insurance premiums. So the CBO seems to be taking the position that insurers should be central, private insurers should be central to health care reform. It's pretty pathetic, if you ask me. And our final piece of news here, Empire, the magazine and blog, has a story saying that we're coming up on the 30-year anniversary of Ridley Scott's classic horror film, Alien. And now there is talk that Fox might be planning an Alien remake. I don't think that's such a good idea. Alien is so good, and it's not one of those movies that's dated. I mean, took place in the future, and the effects were pretty good back then. I don't know. I'm not that into it. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
Okay, we're going to reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after the break. And we're going to talk about Sonia Sotomayor, and we're going to open up a debate about a set of issues that I think has not had enough attention at all. We've talked a lot. There's been a lot of talk about Sotomayor's views on race, ethnicity, heritage, and her experience, but there's been very, very little discussion about the set of issues that we will talk about after the break. So you're going to want to stick around. Let's go to John Turk with a traffic update.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is starting to clear up just a little bit for us, but still find some spots with some stop-and-go conditions. Southbound 25, busy. The I-70 past Spear on the approach into downtown. Same deal for northbounders, Downing Street up to 6th Avenue. We are seeing speeds increase on the southbound side in North Glen from 120th down to 84th. Now things in the 20s and 30s. Got one accident still out there. Cleanup stage, 8th and Dahlia. And that's really our only accident out there in the metro. We do have that water main work going on University near Yale. They have some detours set up there for northbounders, but really starting to shape up and a pretty quiet commute for us so far this morning. Forecast, mostly sunny, small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Look for a high of 80. Currently, we're at 58 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey, it's Tom Harbin, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM 760.
If you really love quality Swiss timepieces, then you must go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, Swiss Army, and many more. But it isn't just the brands. It's the number of timepieces within each brand that truly distinguishes Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Today, call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
Hey, 36 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Jay out of the hospital and in rehab, so he's doing better. It's going up to the high 70s today, and as promised, we're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, that's it!
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, that's it!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, that's it!
So we're opening up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. The last 2 days we've been talking about Sonia Sotomayor, her nomination to the Supreme Court, in terms of what it means for race, ethnicity, diversity on our court, and a challenge to white male privilege. I think it means a lot of really good things in terms of that. She's a historic nominee. I think her views and her outspokenness on the need for the justice system to be more diverse have been provocative and in a good way. She has helped provoke, and her nomination fight is going to help provoke a really overdue debate and discussion about the problems of having such a really a racist or at least racially stratified society, and certainly government and judicial system. What has been less talked about, and what the AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open for today, is to talk about the questions about Sotomayor's positions on major issues and how those positions will relate to the actual operations of the court. Underneath this discussion, this ridiculously overheated discussion by right-wingers who call her some sort of racist, is the more, I think, the more, less covered and equally as important discussion of where she comes down on key issues and how she will vote on the court. Jonathan Turley, the legal expert at George Washington University, has said that he thinks on many issues she is potentially more conservative than David Souter, the George H.W. Bush appointee who she is replacing. Sotomayor, there's a story in the Politico, Sotomayor is being questioned by some progressive legal groups who say that her judicial record is not clear on issues like abortion, gay marriage, and the death penalty. There's a New York Times story today saying that she has ruled in favor of abortion opponents on a couple of issues. For instance, she ruled that it was okay for the Bush administration to try to use its power to prevent public funds from going to abortion or family planning services. She has been, for instance, not necessarily a total friend of progressives on corporate issues, issues of corporate power, economics. She has gotten some praise or at least reticence from the big right-wing corporate front groups in Washington, D.C. And so the open question is, did President Obama miss something of an opportunity here? I certainly think he seized the opportunity to make a historic pick and add much needed diversity to the court. But in terms of changing the ideological direction of the court, and the court I think is extremist conservative right now, did he miss the opportunity to make the court more progressive? It's got 59 Senate seats, probably 60 when Al Franken is seated, if he's seated, and I think he will be seated. The court has gone extremely to the right. Republican presidents have appointed movement conservatives, Alito, Scalia, et cetera, when they have had the opportunity to appoint justices. Obama, by all measures, has not appointed a progressive liberal version of Alito or Scalia or John Roberts. Whether you're a conservative or a liberal, most agree that Sotomayor is, well, right down the middle. And the question is whether that is a missed opportunity for a new president. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think President Obama missed something of an opportunity when he nominated a more quote-unquote moderate pick, Sonia Sotomayor, instead of picking a more movement progressive for the federal bench? John and Laramie, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi. You know, one of the things that gets to me about all this business about who got appointed to the court and what is their ideology and all of this is that if we weren't stuck with the court, we wouldn't have this problem. I mean, the court is a royal institution. basically. And it has plunged us into the Civil War. It has put corporate power in charge. It has really been a disaster for the average American.
Well, I think the Supreme Court in recent years has been the most loyal, the most powerful, the most devoted guardian of the conservative establishment status quo of any single institution in government, even more than the U.S. Senate. It has consistently ruled on behalf of big money and corporate power. And remember, at least half of the cases that the court deals with do not deal with these headline-grabbing social issues. They deal with business issues. And what's amazing to me is that we almost, in these confirmation fights, we almost never ever talk about a nominee's record on these issues. I remember, again, I mentioned this in the last hour, when John Roberts was nominated, a couple of us said, hey, if you're going to oppose him, if there's going to be an opposition to him, they should be saying, hey, we don't want a corporate lawyer, a guy who spent most of his career defending huge corporations. We don't want that person as the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's just not the kind of background that we want. And that actually, that was almost never in the actual confirmation debate. And this crazy idea that somehow that John Roberts' background, as just one example, that his background has nothing to do with any of his rulings, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
The mafia, and
yeah, it's like it's putting something with somebody with a inherent, if not conflict of interest, then certainly an inherent perspective in there.
Yeah. I wish we had a supreme jury.
Instead of a Supreme Court, just a supreme jury?
Yeah, we appoint somebody for a year. They get drafted for a year to sit on the court.
Well, I also think, I mean, you're bringing up a bigger issue, which is these lifetime appointments to the court. I think that's crazy unto itself. It doesn't make any sense anymore. The idea that my kids, when I have kids, and my grandkids could potentially be living under a court run by George W. Bush's appointee, John Roberts, it's just appalling. It's really un-American, in my opinion. John, thanks for the call. 844, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think President Obama, in seizing the opportunity to make a historic nomination of the first Hispanic to the Supreme Court, do you think he missed an opportunity in the sense that Sotomayor is not really a movement progressive? She's been conservative on some issues. Abortion rights groups saying that she's made some rulings that seem to fly in the face of abortion rights. Other groups saying that she has no defined positions on issues like gay marriage, on issues like the death penalty. Business groups staying silent. Big business corporate front groups staying silent, suggesting that they think that they might have a friend. Jonathan Turley, the progressive legal scholar at George Washington University, saying he thinks that her record is actually more conservative than David Souter, the George H.W. Bush nominee that she would be replacing. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Len in Cheyenne, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, I think that possibly that presidential appointments to the court reflect the core values of the individual president more than what we want to give credit. I think that Ms. Sotomayor being left center is an indication of maybe a bit more of the Obama philosophy, and he is going to have another appointment probably in the next couple of years with Justice Ginsburg. And I think that we might see a little bit further left movement with that appointment.
And this has been a theme throughout the morning. Folks have called in and said, well, you know, Obama's got a couple of appointments coming up, and so we should judge him on all of his appointments. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not one of these people who likes to say, and I say this having worked for politicians, I don't believe in the idea that, well, it's just that, well, trust him. He'll be better, or she'll be better. Or whatever politician will be. Unfortunately, on the Supreme Court issue, you can't really verify, right? Once they're confirmed, they're confirmed.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not one of these people who says, Because here's the thing. That sort of thought process can absolve anybody from anything, right? You can say, well, they made a bad decision. You know, somebody made a bad decision, but they're going to be better later.
That wasn't my statement. My statement is I think we're seeing more of a revelation of core value than I even believe a political stance. And I think it was indicative, you know, Bush 43 ran on a center right and he appointed far right. And that I believe was a reflection of his core values.
You said two things, and to your first point, which is that point, I actually fear that that's true, which I say I fear that because I fear that you're right, that what we're seeing is the revelation that President Obama is far less progressive than his campaign for president seemed to suggest, and that's why I actually don't buy, in my heart, I don't think I buy the idea that, well, this is his quote-unquote safe pick, and that the next time there's an appointment, he'll appoint somebody, quote-unquote, from his heart, who's more progressive. I don't buy it because I think that you're right. I think in all of these situations, more often than not, what happens in the moment is not looking farther down the road, right? A Supreme Court nomination is not some little nomination. It's a big deal unto itself. I don't care if he only has, for whatever reason, only has one nomination, or if he gets to nominate five different judges. Each one is a big deal. And I do agree with you that I think this is a core statement of his core values, which is exactly why I'm a little bit nervous. Hey, Len, thanks for the call, man.
You bet. Bye.
8:49, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, do you think President Obama missed an opportunity in appointing somebody less progressive than he could have to the Supreme Court? Sonia Sotomayor, known as left of center, but some people think, some experts believe she'll be even more conservative than the moderate David Souter, the George H.W. Bush appointee who she would be replacing. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Jim in Denver, you're on AM 760.
How you doing, David?
Okay.
Okay, you're the Thomas Paine of our era. Just read the Common Sense and the Rights of Man and replace monarchy with banking industry and corporate financing. And your point about grandchildren being stuck with an agreement made by their grandfathers.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's not just Supreme Court justices. It's almost everything these days.
Yeah, and especially Supreme Court justices. There's an agreement made that next generations have to pay for.
That's exactly right. So what do you think? Do you think Obama missed the opportunity on this?
Yeah, more so after you guys just had that exchange. He had brought up my point about further nominees, but I think we're trying to chisel granite with brass tools, and that's all we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, you know, I'm one of these guys who's like, look, if you subscribe to the idea that, oh, you know, a politician will make a bad decision, and then you sort of absolve them because you expect a better decision under different circumstances in the future. You know, I think that becomes the rationale to accept anything, right? I mean, I think that becomes a way to tell ourselves, oh, no, it's fine because next time it'll be better. And, you know, you think back to the Clinton administration, right? How many times did we have to think that, right? Well, he passed NAFTA, but, you know, the next time a trade deal comes down the pike after NAFTA, he'll be in a better position to be better. Well, then the China trade deal came down the pike, and that basically was even bigger than NAFTA and was even worse, way worse in a lot of cases than NAFTA, right? I mean, the Clinton administration was one of those examples where Bill Clinton, we were all led to think he was so super progressive in his heart, and every single time he made a conservative decision, we always told ourselves, well, next time it'll be better. You know, next time after he gets reelected, it'll be better. And the problem is, I just think that's a slippery slope to absolve the politicians that we want to like, but who aren't doing the right thing and who actually need pressure. Thanks for the call. 8:51 on AM 760 Progressive Talk, going up to 77 degrees on the Front Range. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Did President Obama miss an opportunity to appoint a more progressive Supreme Court justice? Underneath the debate about Sonia Sotomayor's nomination and the debate about and the discussion about how historic it is, which it certainly is and certainly terrific that we're going to potentially have a Hispanic finally on the court, and how important diversity is. Underneath that discussion, which is important, there has been less of a discussion of how Sotomayor has something of a conservative court record as a judge, and that she may actually end up being more conservative than David Souter, the justice she is replacing. And in that sense, do you think Obama missed an opportunity? 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the dojo after a traffic update from John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Really starting to shape up now around the city. Southbound 225, really the only spot I'm seeing stop-and-go conditions there from Parker Road down to 25. Things getting better, but still heavy eastbound C-470, Broadway past Quebec, and on 36 westbound side, Sheridan past Wadsworth. Just the normal jams around town, westbound 270, Quebec to York, and southbound I-25 approaching downtown. Northbound side, a little sluggish there from Downing Street to 6th Avenue. Our blips on the radar, disabled vehicle, right lane blocked, stall northbound I-25 at at 36. Also got this rollover crash at 8th and Dahlia. And if you're around DU, look out. We've got a water main work anyway, southbound and northbound University affected around Vassar. That's north of Yale. All lanes of northbound University are shut down there with traffic being detoured from Yale onto Josephine for 3 blocks. The forecast, mostly sunny and warmer with highs in the low 80s. Could be breezy, too. Got a small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm, mostly in the western part of town. Right now, 64 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your car and your street sweeping day to keep the Mile High City clean, and you won't get a ticket. Visit keepitcleandenver.org to sign up for a free e-minder or text, or call 311 for free calendar stickers.
Randy Rhodes.
You know, they're lying. They're saying that it's people from my side of the aisle.
It's so nice to spend more time outside with barbecues, graduation parties, Memorial Day, and Freehoffs wants to make the time you spend on your patio or deck a lot more comfortable. May is comfort month at Freehoffs. They've got so many stylish and comfy sofas, settees, recliners, and dining sets to use outside. You'll have to sit in this patio furniture to believe it. And this month, take advantage of the more you buy, the more you save sale at Freehoffs. It's the perfect time to save some money ahead of the summer. Spelled Freehoffs, pronounced Freehoffs, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder.
And Mark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage Program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data.
Free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
Six here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760. It's going up to the high 70s today on the Front Range. Just about sandals weather. We're going to go back to the phones now and see what you think. Do you think President Obama missed an opportunity to nominate a more progressive candidate for the Supreme Court? Sonia Sotomayor, certainly a historic nominee because of her heritage. And her background and her story, but some progressive groups are saying she may be end up being a fairly conservative jurist, having ruled issued some rulings that seem to side with, for instance, opponents of abortion and opponents of abortion rights. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Oren in Fort Collins, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing, David?
Good.
I
one thing I'd like to us keep in mind is our definition of sinner. You know, we're, this woman appears to be very, you know, how liberal do we want? I hear you say, you know, she's too liberal, she's, you know, where's the sinner? And, but with that said, I believe that Obama has one pick and one pick only. You know, we can't ever depend on there being, you know, he gets another one, he gets a second one. That's how with John Roberts. You know, we got, oh, he'll do another one, and we'll, you know, this one will be okay. And, you know, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. He's got one shot at this, and that's it. But with that said, I really believe this lady will be a good choice. I think that she's, sir?
We're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think she's, I think she's a good pick. I want to see the, on the court. I believe that as a Hispanic and as a woman and as someone who is so very well versed as she is with the law, and I believe she'll bring her experience to that, and that's really what every one of these do. And I am, as a white male, as an older white male, I am so very tired of white men.
Well, I can't agree with you more on your last point in terms of, I'm so very sick and tired of white men dominating our politics so much. I absolutely agree with that. I just disagree that the only metric that we can look at people on is how much diversity they add to the court. And I think it's a discussion about where Sotomayor comes down on the issues has been negated. And that's why we're having it here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Okay, more from the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after the national news.
I should be Twittering.
Like, I don't talk enough.
Randy Rhodes.
It's not going to last. Twitter is... Who could keep themselves to 140 characters? Nobody can. Not me. 140 pages? Yes, I'm in. I'm your girl.
The Randy Rhodes Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Concerts for Kids is proud to present the Flowbots at the Fillmore Auditorium Saturday, June 6th. VIP patron tickets and corporate packages available. Call 303-605-2885. Concerts for Kids raises money for local children's charities through entertainment. For more information, visit www.concertsforkids.org or call 303-605-2885.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Steve Kathan. A better deal means GM may get back on its feet faster. A committee of General Motors bondholders has agreed to a sweetened package that will eliminate some of the auto giant's debt in exchange for company stock.
All indications are that this is a bit of a better deal for the bondholders, and really a lot of them had just been asking for something that was more respectable than what they had been offered.
Reporter John Stoll of the Wall Street Journal, the deal reportedly gives the bondholders 10% of the company's stock, and that number could go up to 15%. Industry analysts say these moves will likely not prevent bankruptcy for GM, but could make a filing go smoother. Reports indicate GM will reveal next week 14 plants that will close by the end of next year. Auto parts supplier Visteon has filed for bankruptcy. It's been struggling with reduced demand from automakers. Some of the company's factories will shut down this summer. From the government, word that the number of newly laid off people seeking benefits fell last week. 623,000. That's down from 636,000 the week before. And orders for big ticket items were up almost 2% in April.
This is consistent with a stabilizing economy. Up one month, down the next. Up again. It's been up 2 months out of three.
The economist Peter Morici. The latest industry report on foreclosures finds 12% of Americans with a mortgage are behind on their payments or in foreclosure. Patrick Newport's an economist at IHS Global Insight.
We're still caught in this vicious cycle where declining housing prices and rising unemployment leads to more foreclosures.
Folks without health insurance have it rough, but so do people who are paying more for their health plans. And a new study says the more of what they pay goes to help cover the uninsured.
Those of us who have health insurance, and for businesses that pay for health insurance, this really hits us hard in the pocketbook.
Ron Pollock of Families USA says the average family shells out $1,000 a year to pay for others. Lots of questions about the suburban Philadelphia mother who was arrested at Disney World in Orlando with her 9-year-old daughter after she called police in a panic, saying the two were held in the trunk of a car.
At this time, she's facing charges of false reports and identity theft.
DA Michelle Henry says Bonnie Sweeten could get jail time if convicted or probation. She allegedly used a co-worker's ID to buy an airline ticket. It's a date with the doctor today for 13-year-old Daniel Hauser, who will get chemotherapy for his cancer. The Minnesota boy and his mother have been on the run from a court order most of last week. The family's put up a website to raise money to help cover the treatment. We have a winner in Winner. Winner, South Dakota, is where the lone $232 million Powerball jackpot ticket was sold yesterday. Pat Nielsen is one of the town's 3,000 residents.
Everybody's excited and trying to figure out who it might be.
Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is up 8 points and the NASDAQ is down 1. This is CBS News.
Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration? Wet AMD doesn't happen overnight, though in some people it can develop very quickly. It begins with symptoms, including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, see an ophthalmologist and get checked now, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
When it comes to working around the house, never underestimate the value of getting it done right the first time. At your local Ace Hardware, our associates are always ready with expert tips on the smartest ways to get the results you're looking for. We'll give you simple, straightforward advice that will help you save time and money. So the next time you're thinking about starting a project, consider the value of having everything you need just minutes away at your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A team of developers plans to build a racetrack east of DIA that's expected to seat up to 100,000 people. The developers say they plan to begin construction on the $200 million project as soon as late 2010. The Nuggets and Lakers are trading games, each winning every other night, and last night it was the Lakers' turn. 103-94 the final. It's now do or die for Denver.
Backs against the wall. You know, so we got to come out swinging. Just come out and get 110%. And if you come out and you do that, and whatever the outcome is, you can live with.
Kenyon Martin, Game 6 tomorrow night at Pepsi Center. It is a popular series nationally, as Game 4 Monday night was the most watched NBA game ever on cable and the top cable show in 2009. It was also easily ESPN's most viewed basketball game ever. A Conifer High School student's in fair condition at Children's Hospital after she slipped off the hood of an SUV. Trooper Ryan Sullivan says the 17-year-old girl was holding onto the windshield wipers when she lost her grip and fell.
As the vehicle was in motion, which again she slipped off and was ran over by the vehicle. But I don't know if I would necessarily call it car surfing.
Happened in the school parking lot at Conifer. Rockies lose to the Dodgers 8-6. They're off today, and the Padres come to town tomorrow night. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where this morning's commute is going to be late to recover in spots like southbound 225 approaching Yosemite. Northbounders on I-25 making your way underneath the bridges looks okay, but once you get to right around Broadway, you'll start to bog down a little bit. Same deal on the boulder-bound lanes of 36 after Sheridan. Speeds are dipping on the southbound side of I-25 right around Park Meadows Mall due to a center lane accident just south of there. Watch for a right lane stall northbound I-25 at 36. Should be out of the way shortly. Crews, they're cleaning up a rollover 8th and Dahlia. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Clarissa's hatching a...
So you run Windows at your desk. You have an Airport Express hooked up to your stereo. You want to stream music from your PC to the big speakers. Impossible? Not with Airfoil from the guys at Rogue Amoeba. This isn't anything new, but they've just released version 2.7, which improves many of its features and now supports the Airfoil Speakers Touch app, which streams to your iPhone or iPod.
Everyone
once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
After a huge success in movie theaters, Kung Fu Panda is set to hit the small screen. Nickelodeon is planning a 26-episode television series revolving around the martial arts-loving panda Po. It's not known yet if Jack Black will reprise his role as the voice of the panda in the series, which is set to launch sometime next year.
Showbuzz.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Showbuzz.
A woman who represents, and I think will represent on the court, her diverse background on a court that's dominated by and in a government that's dominated by white men. But progressive groups in the last day, some have raised questions about her actual legal record, not whether she's competent, but whether she's progressive. Right? The Supreme Court is extremely, extremely conservative, and Republican presidents have used their nomination opportunities to nominate movement conservatives, John Roberts, Sam Alito, Clarence Thomas, Scalia. These are movement conservatives, and now we have a movement conservative court. And Sotomayor has a much more, much less progressive record on rulings on issues than those conservatives on the court have conservative credentials. And so the question is whether Obama missed an opportunity to really balance the court ideologically by nominating somebody like Sotomayor, who really doesn't have what you'd call a movement progressive record. In fact, she's been somewhat conservative on some issues. There are questions about some of her rulings on abortion rights cases. There's questions about whether she is, in fact, whether she does support abortion rights. There's questions about her views on economic issues. The big corporate front groups in D.C. have stayed relatively silent about her nomination, likely because they know that a lot of her rulings have been very friendly to the sort of corporate status quo. So again, do you think President Obama missed an opportunity here to nominate somebody who was more progressive? And I just want to add that I don't think it's mutually exclusive, right? I don't think he either could nominate a Hispanic or he could nominate a progressive. I think it might have been possible for him to do both. So these are not necessarily at odds with each other. And I also want to be clear that, again, we spent the last 2 days talking about how good it will be if Sotomayor is confirmed, that there was some level of diversity put into the court. I think that's absolutely terrific. But today we're talking about whether ideologically he missed an opportunity. 303-713-7600 is the number. Jeff in Centennial. Jeff, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David, thank you for letting me come on with you. I appreciate it. You know, I want to talk about the appointment of Judge Sotomayor by President Obama. I think that it's a pretty savvy political move from my point of view. And, you know, when all other things are considered, President Obama is a hell of a good politician. He's appointed someone who was initially appointed to the bench by a Republican who, in retrospect, looks pretty moderate compared to what the Republican Party has become. So if she's not confirmed, it allows the Democrats to point out how much further to the right the Republican Party has moved to all those people in the middle. The second thing is that she's a woman. She's not confirmed because of Republican interference. then it allows the Democrats to say they're anti-woman, which they don't need a lot of help in, but every little bit counts. The third thing is that she's Hispanic, and that really counts for a lot. The Republicans have tried to make hay for a number of years over the fact that we'll never have a Hispanic Supreme Court justice because the Democrats won't allow them to be confirmed. If the Republicans cut the other way on this, it's huge political fodder for the Democrats to use in the future. And if she's confirmed, she's okay. She's not great, but I think that, you know, while she's conservative on some issues, I think on the social issues, I think she's liberal enough to get the job done. And I do think that President Obama will have other appointments. And I do believe, although I may be a Pollyanna, that those appointments will be more liberal.
Well, I do think it is politically savvy. There's no denying that. There's absolutely no denying that, that it's a politically smart move. But I'm trying to get at you know, I mean, these Supreme Court nominees, beyond their immediate politics, right, these affect the next generations of Americans. This is not, so the short-term politics of it are certainly smart, undeniably so. But how this person will rule, how any nominee will rule, on issues is just as important, and arguably, I think, more important, because how they will rule is what will actually impact, as I said, my children, God willing that I have children, and my grandchildren, right? So I'm trying to get at, where is this person going to come down on major issues? And the question is, are we comfortable with a president who just won a huge mandate, who has full control of Congress, who could be, very well could be, at the peak of his political capital? And that's something I think we all forget a lot. Well, he'll have stuff in the future. He'll be able to do stuff in the future. Well, it's quite possible that we'll look back on this moment right now and say that was the moment where President Obama had more power and more authority and more political capital than he ever had in the rest of his administration. I mean, he is at sort of a peak.
Sure.
In terms of other presidents. And so that when we say, well, later on he'll put somebody on who's more progressive, I get nervous about that, not only because I don't know if that's true, but because it's like, you know, it's kind of like carpe diem.
Yeah.
Seize the day, right? I mean,
I understand.
You know, and so I, you know, the thing is with these issues, remember, is that, and I think you probably agree, which is that these nominations, you can't really, I know the sort of blowtorch of the left and the blowtorches of the right want us to say, oh, that's a perfectly great nomination, or it's a perfectly terrible nomination. You know, there's some really, really fantastic aspects to this nomination. The fact, again, that she's a Hispanic, and that she's a woman, and that she's got an amazing life story, and that she's been honest and provocatively so about the need for more diversity on the court. That's fantastic. But, you know, there's also a part of this nomination that I don't think is that fantastic. That, in fact, put it this way. If Sotomayor was a white man, right? If it was if there's the same exact legal record and it was a white man, my guess is that a larger swath of the progressive community would be saying, "This is really disappointing."
Well, I think that, you know, I'm pretty cynical about this. I think if she was a white man, she wouldn't have been nominated with the same record.
Well, we can't prejudge that.
Well, I think the politician. It's great to think about the long run, but the politician thinks about the next election. And that's really unfortunate, but that's the way our system works. And I think this is sort of a next election thing. And while Barack Obama's political capital may be at its peak right now, his political power isn't. He doesn't have that 60th member of the Senate. And, you know, if he appointed the wrong person, somebody who was too far out, we could just end up in a stalemate with the Republicans refusing to allow a vote.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, the reason I don't buy that is because they've never been able to successfully filibuster a Supreme Court nominee. I mean, that has not happened in modern history. And, you know, I know it's a new Republican Party and it's a new politics now. I don't buy the calculation that he just couldn't have put somebody up without. They're going to try to obstruct as much as they're going to try to obstruct for politics. And I do think, and I just think that it's like, you know, if you strip away, if you can segment out and say, look, where would the progressive movement be if this nominee came down and it wasn't a Latina woman? Would people be more disappointed, not just in the fact that, let's say it was a white man, not just in the fact that Obama didn't pick somebody who could add diversity to the court, but actually would people be more disappointed about the legal record being put on the court? I think the answer is yes. And I think that if we want to have realistic expectations for a change of direction on the Supreme Court or a lack of change, we've got to be cognizant of the fact that this judge, if she is confirmed, may actually move the court slightly to the right. It's very possible that she could be slightly more conservative than David Souter based on her legal opinions. Thanks for the call. 917, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Or at least I thought it was. There we go. My bad. I messed up the gong.
That'd be my bad, Dave.
Captain Turk's bad. All right. Michelle in Lakewood, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Okay.
You know, I'm sort of seeing a pattern. It almost seems to me like regardless of who the president would have nominated, it seems like he's unable to satisfy not the moderate portion of the party, not the middle portion, but the more to the left. Because I don't know quite enough about Judge Sotomayor's record to say, I mean, she's obviously not as horrifying as Alito or Roberts. And that's, you know, a plus.
Well, certainly.
And I mean, I don't think she would say, oh, yeah, no, it's totally okay to strip search a 10-year-old. And, you know, that's a good thing, because that was one of Samuel Alito's little nuggets. And, I mean, I think that maybe, you know, give her a chance.
Well, I don't think we have the luxury of quote-unquote giving her a chance, because they get lifetime appointments. I mean, there's no giving her a chance. And I mean, you could say that about a member of Congress and say, I'll give him a chance for a term, see what happens. No. I mean, that I don't think that rationale does not apply right here. Because this is a lifetime appointment. Her being appointed, she could be the Supreme. She could be on the Supreme Court when my grandkids, when I have grandchildren. So I think it's fair to look at these issues, and it's fair to consider the fact that, you know, her record is not really what I would call all that progressive. And then the question is, well, did Obama miss a chance to put somebody on who could actually change the direction, the ideological direction of an extremist right-wing court?
See, but I don't know that, to be honest with you, I'm a history major, whatever you want to call me. And looking at the Supreme Court, it very rarely, I mean, just, you know, an answer to pro-choice individuals. The Supreme Court that I can think of off the top of my head has only ever one time overturned itself, and that was Brown v. Board of Education overturning Plessy v. Ferguson, saying that separate was not equal. It was inherently unequal. The Supreme Court is not in the practice of overturning itself.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure if that's true. Secondly, I don't subscribe to the idea that it can't or that it won't or that it shouldn't, because if you do subscribe to that, what you're saying is that every ruling the court has made, you're basically saying that if that's what you want out of a court, you're basically saying you want a system that never changes. If you want a court to simply ratify what it's been ratifying over the last 100 years, then you don't really want change, which of course Barack Obama promised change, which of course the court has moved to the extreme right. And I think there's a very, very sound legal argument to say, look, the conservatives, when they have had the presidency, they put in movement conservatives that have pushed the court so far to the right, and that if Democratic presidents don't put in progressive counterweights, genuinely progressive counterweights, then you will not get change. And I think that's a real argument, and I think that's why we need to actually look at this nomination on multiple levels. The obvious level that everybody's been looking at is how this adds diversity to the court. I think it's fantastic. But beneath that level is, will this change the ideological direction of the court? I think that's fair to look at as well. And remember, Roe v. Wade was a 5-4 decision. If Sotomayor actually ends up being against abortion rights, and we don't know where she is, we really don't. And in fact, there are some court rulings where she's ruled against abortion rights advocates. She could move that decision. She could change legal precedent. And that's real. And we need to know about it. Michelle, thanks for the call. 922 on AM 760 Progressive Talk, going up to the high 70s. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Got a late crash southbound I-25 around Lincoln. That's causing some backups back past County Line Road, almost to Dry Creek there in the Tech Center. Northbound side of 25. Going to be a little busy. Speeds are improving there, though, from DU to 6th Avenue. Still a little sluggish, about speeds in the 30s there. Southbound 225, same conditions. Parker Road down to 25. And also still working this rollover crash at 8th and Dahlia. Crews have been working on that one for about 90 minutes. Also, got a water main work, University, both northbound and southbound lanes affected around Yale. It's right at Vassar, and they will be take you detoured from northbound University there over to Josephine for 3 blocks. I promise I'll spit this one out. Jeez. Anyway, your forecast today, mostly sunny, small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Look for a high around 80. Your current downtown temperature is 67 degrees. Definitely a sandal day. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Who casino players eat for free at Fortune Valley?
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Cut Diamond, and the Spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
If you could find a receptionist that's very professional, never late or sick, takes no lunches or vacations, and works for about $1 an hour, would you hire her? Well, now you can. Introducing the remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Just forward your calls to our professionals who answer as your company and seamlessly reconnect that call back to you. And no, this is not an answering service that only takes messages. This is a friendly person trained by you to be a member of your staff for your calls. And if you're a lone eagle or work from home, a remote receptionist will increase customer service and put a professional front end on your business. All for a buck an hour. So if you need receptionist coverage for lunch, sick days, or vacations, or if you want to add some professionalism to your business, hire a remote receptionist from the Intelligent Office. Call 303-447-9000. Work professionally from anywhere with the Intelligent Office. 303-447-9000.
To spend more time outside with barbecues, graduation parties, Memorial Day, and Freehoffs wants to make the time you spend on your patio or deck a lot more comfortable. May is comfort month at Freehoffs. They've got so many stylish and comfy sofas, settees, recliners, and dining sets to use outside. You'll have to sit in this patio furniture to believe it. And this month, take advantage of the more you buy, the more you save sale at Freehoffs. It's the perfect time to save some money ahead of the summer. Spelled Freehoffs, pronounced Freehoffs at 33rd and Arapaho in Boulder.
I am David Sirota, and I am looking forward to getting outside in about a half hour. 303-713-7600 is the number. Did President Obama miss something of an opportunity on ideological levels in his nomination of Sonia Sotomayor? Abortion rights advocates are raising some questions, saying Mayor's record on those issues is not very clear, and she's ruled with some abortion opponents. Other legal experts saying that her record suggests she may actually be more conservative on many issues than the Justice David Souter that she is replacing. What do you think? 303-713-7600 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Noah in Thornton. Noah.
Hey, morning, David. How are you today?
Doing well.
My personal opinion on this is that the conservatives are just, they're crazy. crazy. They're only set to the 20 percenters now, and that we just need to stop listening to them and go to the most liberal person possible and give them their nightmare. That way, anybody else that we choose afterwards, you know, they're going to complain anyways. We might as well do the right thing and put somebody on there who's rational, and we'll balance out the extremists. I totally agree with you.
Well, that's the, I mean, that's the, that's, you know, politics 101 that somehow conservatives understand, but I think progressives and Democrats sometimes forget, right? It was Tom DeLay who said in his biography, Tom DeLay, the former House Majority Leader, the Republican revolutionary, probably one of the most important conservative revolutionaries in modern history. He said what they tried to do in the House was start everything from as far to the right as possible, knowing that the ultimate compromise that comes out of a Congress and in congressional presidential negotiations, even in a Congress and a presidency controlled by Republicans, that the compromises will pull things, will water things down, and that if you want something, if you want X in a negotiation, you got to ask for X plus 5.
Yep.
And somehow, progressives and Democrats often forget this. We go into I mean, it's like healthcare. The best example is healthcare, right? There's a value. If you want a robust public option in a universal healthcare program, then the best way to get it is not to go out there and champion a robust public option. You go out there and you champion single payer, knowing that the ultimate compromise will be stronger because of your advocacy. And I think it's the same thing on the court, right? I mean, the idea that, well, Obama started with somebody who's somewhat conservative and that this will lay the groundwork for him to later be more liberal, I think it's backwards. The way politics has tended to work is that you put up somebody who sets the progressive bar, and that everything that comes short of that is seen as a compromise.
Pretty much in politics in America, that the Republicans have been doing this for so many years that what's considered liberal or left wing, when you really look at it, is centrist.
You're right. They've pulled the entire debate all the way to the right, to the point where, actually, you could put it this way, to the point where a nominee like Sonia Sotomayor, on her ideology, is portrayed as center-left. And, in fact, when you actually look at her nomination in comparison and her record in comparison to David Souter, by the way, a George H.W. Bush nominee, she may actually end up being somewhat more conservative than him. And she may not, you never know. Earl Warren was a Republican governor and became one of the most progressive chief justices in the court's history, but just based on what we know, and you're right, I think it's a commentary on how the entire debate has been pulled to the right. Noah, thanks for the call. Jack in Arvada. Jack.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to talk about the comments about from Tom Tancredo.
Right, him calling Sotomayor a racist.
Oh. I know Tom Tancredo. This guy is the biggest fool in the world. And you heard him there on the Ed Schultz show. This guy was out of control. Completely out of control. See, Tom's got a history of a long, long time ago being called a house crazy when he was in the state legislature. There were four of them. I mean, they just embarrassed everybody. The Republicans, the Democrats, the state of Colorado. Then this guy gets five terms as a U.S. representative. This man is no politician. When he talks to someone about Sonia Montemayor, by the way, Montemayor means dominant peak in Spanish. And when he calls her a racist, this guy just points four fingers towards himself.
Yeah, and this is the tactic. The tactic is for the Republicans are going to try to portray themselves as the ones who are really into equality, and they're going to say that we're for a colorblind society, and that Sotomayor in making such provocative comments in the past about how she thinks that her ethnicity, her gender, her experience, and her heritage brings value to her judgments is somehow racist. I mean, this is where they're going. Now, of course, we have on record Sam Alito, who is, I believe, the son or the grandson of Italian immigrants, saying that his history as an immigrant affects the way he looks at judicial issues, right? So somehow that was completely fine for him to say that as a white male arch conservative, but if a female Latina says the same thing, she's billed as some sort of reverse racist. The double standard there is structural racism at work.
Dave, the Republicans better watch out with this Hispanic bloc. They really better watch out. They better tread lightly when she comes up for nomination.
Yeah, well, we will see. Remember, the head of that committee that will be questioning her, the Republicans, the ranking member, the Republican ranking senator on the Judiciary Committee is Jeff Sessions from Alabama. Not exactly a guy with a progressive record, progressive views, or restraint on race issues, and from a state that's got quite a terrible history on such issues. Jack, thanks for the call. 9:32 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. We're taking your calls on whether you think President Obama may have missed at least an ideological opportunity in nominating Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. He obviously seized the opportunity to make the court more diverse, and good on him for doing that. It's very, very important. But did he miss an opportunity to change the ideological complexion of the court? Some legal experts say that Sotomayor's legal record suggests she could actually be more conservative on issues like abortion, business issues, gay rights, the death penalty, more conservative than David Souter, the George H.W. Bush appointee that she would be replacing. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update from John Turk.
Well, it looks like we've made a full recovery for the morning commute. Had a late crash southbound 25 around Lincoln, but things back in shape around there. No problems on 225 in Aurora or C-470 down on the Highlands Ranch Littleton side of town. Also a breeze traveling in and out of Boulder on the turnpike right now. Forecast, mostly sunny, small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm. Look for a high around 80. Your current downtown temperature, 67 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
So everyone's talking about energy tax credits, and you're wondering, how do I qualify? The answer? Contact K&H Home Solutions. They have the products and the know-how to get it done. Call K&H at 303-421-7100. That's 421-7100. Or visit khwindows.com.
You know what the Snuggies are, right? There for people who can't deal with blankets. A Snuggie is pretty much giving up. I just want a blanket with, like, armpit holes in it. It's pajamas for the long-term unemployed.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Do you want the country's best prices on kitchen cabinets? Well, come see our below wholesale prices on cabinetry and more. Hi, this is Courtney Pierce, president of Buy and Build Incorporated, Denver's fix and flip supply house that's open to the public. Compare prices anywhere else, and I assure you, you'll come to us for your purchase. Buy and Build also has below wholesale pricing on hardwood flooring, tile, vessel sinks, granite countertops, toilets, faucets, and much more. Visit our showroom at 4800 Washington Street in Denver or call us at 303-295-6022. You will be thrilled with the thousands you save at Buy and Build.
Does tax debt leave you consumed with worry? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? If you're tired of feeling stressed over your tax problems, turn to Tax Debt Bailout now for a free review of your situation. Call 1-800-501-0641. If you're facing back taxes, wage garnishment, a tax lien, bank levy, audit, or property seizure, let our tax relief specialists deal with the IRS so you don't have to. Tax Debt Bailout saves taxpayers like you precious time and millions of dollars every year. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, know your rights and take action. For peace of mind and your free review, call the Tax Debt Bailout now at 1-800-501-0641. That's 1-800-501-0641. Don't wait another minute. Call 1-800-501-0641.
The Home Depot has new lower prices on select patio sets. You'll save 25% or more. But keep your seat. It gets better. Put those savings towards something to enjoy while sitting pretty on the patio. Like a new flat of flowers a new grill, or maybe some outdoor lighting for those cool evenings you'll spend thanks to our new lower prices on select patio sets. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This year, more than 186,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. This Father's Day week, team up with Major League Baseball and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to keep Dad in the game. Call 1-800-798-CURE and pledge any amount to the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, that's 1-800-798-CURE.
Concerts for Kids is proud to present the Flowbots at the Fillmore Auditorium Saturday, June 6th. VIP patron tickets and corporate packages available. Call 303-605-2885. Concerts for Kids raises money for local children's charities through entertainment. For more information, visit www.concertsforkids.org or call 303-605-2885.
Flying out today? The parking lots at DIA are filling fast. Save time by exiting Peña Boulevard at Tower Road and go left to U.S. Airport Parking and earn free parking with our Frequent Parker program. U.S. Airport Parking, it's so easy.
Hi, 37 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in again for Jay Marvin. 303-713-7600. Welcome to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're sparring it out, duking it out about whether President Obama may have missed an opportunity, an ideological opportunity, to change the ideological complexion of the Supreme Court. He certainly has seized the opportunity to change the ethnic and gender, racial, and heritage complexion of the Supreme Court. But what about the notion that Sotomayor doesn't really represent much of a change to David Souter, the judge she is replacing, on a court that has moved extremely to the right? The idea that Obama needed to appoint somebody who was much more of a movement progressive to balance out the arch conservatives on that court. Do you think he missed an opportunity? 303-713-7600. John and Bailey, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, David. Sure enjoy your program and miss Jay a lot, too, but I think you brought a lot to it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think Obama made a great choice, and I think that we have to look at change in the court a little differently than just, and frankly, in this whole thing that's happening in America now. I think it's a big mistake for the far left to say, now's our time, we should move everything far left as much as we can, because you've got a whole bunch of people, and myself included, who are pretty moderate and who are in a position where the more they see the moderation and the good judgment that Obama does, the further away it drives the far right, and the more ridiculous they look. They look absurd. And so I think Obama is laying the foundation to change the course of America, but I think it takes time. I don't think if you do a real drastic sudden change that you wind up doing anything but getting back into the ideological battles we've been in.
Well, I mean, the only thing that would counter what you're saying is, well, most of American history, because most of American history is marked by people who come in into power with a huge mandate and start to make aggressive and in some cases radical transformation. Most of American history that is marked by change just doesn't comport with the theory you're putting forward. You look at the Great Depression that followed FDR, followed one of the most conservative eras in American history and didn't wait around trying to appease Herbert Hoover followers, and Lyndon Johnson didn't come in and try to appease Dwight Eisenhower's followers, and Ronald Reagan didn't come in and look to not make transformative change because he was worried about opposition from Jimmy Carter supporters. And so I understand the theory that you're offering up there, but your theory about how change happens and doesn't happen is much more of a academic theory than a practical reality in this country based on what we know has happened in this country. And you have to look no further than George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, and the conservatives to know that. You got to look further back to Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson on domestic issues, at least, certainly not on war issues, to know that that's the case when it comes to progressivism. I would argue that the reason the country has moved so far to the right is because progressives and the left have lost the understanding of that, because they've actually accepted the kind of theory that you're putting forward, which is we got to wait, we shouldn't seize the moment, we should slow walk things, and that we've basically gotten rid of the ideology that says, well, not the ideology, the tactical understanding that says when you have a mandate, you use it. You can't hoard political capital.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, that was a legacy of LBJ, that was a legacy of Franklin Roosevelt, and it's become the legacy of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush. And subsequently, in the recent years, the country's moved hard to the right.
Well, it's moved so hard to the right that one of the biggest problems we have is how dysfunctional we are in terms of governing. And I think the bringing in of people who are good people and competent in various areas, like this woman is. I mean, she's extremely competent and a good person and believes in rule of law. I think setting and establishing a climate change on that court is probably the most important thing. I think all parties involved are good people, but I think that they tend to leave ideology behind, and what they need to get to, if they get functional, is where they have respect for each other and think and work together to come to decisions that are best for our country. And I don't think when you're ideologically divided, as we are, in such a dysfunctional state from a governing point, that you function well.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree. I kind of don't. I kind of disagree in that the court, almost by definition, deals in ideological issues. And that term ideological has gotten a bad name. Ideologist means you've got a way of looking at the world. And I think that actually, when I really struggle with this issue, is that I think the problem has been that it seems to me that the only side that has ideology, at least over the last 30, 40 years, has been the right. And that progressives have basically said, ideology is a bad thing. Having a strong belief system, a worldview, is a bad thing, and that we're only into quote-unquote pragmatism and competence, when in fact so many of the decisions in our government are based on, for better or for worse, and they have been forever, ideology. How do you look at the world? The Republicans and the right have a coherent, cogent way that they look at the world. It's crazy. I completely disagree with it. But it is a belief system, and they have shown the power of ideology. They have shown that ideology is what can move government and what does move government. That's why we have a government that is so right-wing. You may not like that government. I can't stand the fact that it's so right-wing, but they have been extremely effective. If progressives want a government that is more progressive, you will not get it. At least history teaches, you will not get it through the promotion of people based solely on what the establishment says is quote-unquote competent or quote-unquote pragmatic. You need people who have a strong worldview. The right understands this. The left, unfortunately, has not understood this. And guess what? The left has gotten its ass handed to it in political battle after political battle after political battle. I'm not talking about electoral battles. I'm talking about battles over issues. You can win all the elections that you want. The Democrats can win all the elections that they want. But if there's no ideology behind the bills they pass or the court nominees they put on the court, you'll have government of Democrats and you'll have no actual policy change. And that's what I'm worried about. John, thanks for the call. 946 on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Beth and Aurora, you're on AM 760.
Yes, everything that I hear a lot about, I have reservations about her. I think she is a bit too conservative. Now she, and the one time she wasn't, I have reservations about that too. I didn't care for it. Was the situation with the firemen. I didn't care. I didn't like that judgment, and I guess that was more less conservative. But I think there you'd have to be hard pressed to find where she did, made a judgment that wasn't a conservative judgment, and that troubles me. Although she's very smart, very well spoken, and but I do think she is definitely a conservative, and that troubles me. So,
yeah.
And that's about all I can say without knowing a whole lot more about it. And we, I don't think any of us knows a lot more about
well,
it.
Well, I think, and I think actually what really, the thing that most concerns me about her nomination, because I think she has been on a lot of issues, what you might call a, you know, a social moderate. I mean, we don't know where she is on abortion really, but she's been, as the term is conventionally used, a moderate. What most concerns me is that I think she's been conservative, or the rap is that she's been conservative in how she views her role in the court. By that I mean, it's been said that she's issued very narrow rulings that are extremely deferential to other courts of other eras and other precedents. Now, that's conservative. Not ideologically, that's conservative in how somebody looks at their role on the bench. Do they work to change precedent when it's appropriate, or do they simply defer to the past? That's what conservatism is definitionally about. And at this point, I'm more interested in a trailblazer. Because I think that the past, the system that we have now, has become so fundamentally right-wing that I want somebody who has rankled the rest of the legal system, somebody that has ruffled a few feathers in terms of legal rulings. I don't want somebody who's only said, hey, everything that the rest of the courts have said is fantastic by me, because you know what? Everything that a lot of what the court system has been saying over many, many years is not okay by me. Beth, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
949 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Last couple minutes here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We'll go to Jerry in Arvada. Jerry, you're on AM 760.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Yes. Hi, David.
Hi there.
Oh, okay. I can't believe I'm even bringing up this point. Because just to get a woman back on, another woman on the court would have been a very positive thing. But I also have problems because I believe now there are, what, four or five Catholics on the court now?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I haven't done a count, but there's a lot of Catholics on the court, yes.
Right. And so if we want diversity, that is part of her worldview, because we don't know if she's in good standing with the church, or she is somebody who will be challenging it. And that is very important. You've really brought up a really important point with in challenging her. And I probably am going to get my head handed to me by some of my friends.
Well, I don't think it's fair to look at whether she's in good standing by the metrics of her church. I think it's fair.
The church has definitely come out against all those Catholics who ruled in favor of a choice.
No, we're saying two parts of the same thing. What I'm saying is that I think it's fair to look at her rulings on issues and ask whether they are appropriately representative of the country or whether they are extreme. Whether those views are derived from or not derived from her membership in a given religion is less important. I do think, as a trend, you're right, on some social issues, the fact that the court is dominated by people of Catholic descent might make folks who are, let's say, for abortion rights uncomfortable, knowing that the Catholic Church has been against abortion rights. But I think you got to judge it on each individual judge. I mean, I'm not a Supreme Court expert in the sense that I don't know if one of the conservative or one of the liberal justices who happens to be a Catholic has shown any penchant for representing, based on their Catholic religion, a Catholic slant on the court. You got to look at these people individually on where they come down on the issues. And Sotomayor, you know, she's got a record that we can look at. And that's why what I'm concerned about is this story in the New York Times that talks about how, in some cases, she has really ruled with abortion rights opponents. And I've got concerns about that. Whether she's ruled that way because she's a Catholic or not, I don't think we can determine. I really think it's kind of out of bounds, but I think you are right that we need to look at these issues in terms of where they may move the court. It's not just that Sotomayor adds much needed diversity. It's also where will she potentially move the court? That entire conversation has gotten short shrift. Thanks for the call. 9:52, let's go to a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic's still in pretty decent shape for us as we're wrapping up the morning commute. Looks like it's all finished for us. Speeds popping back into the 50s and 60s on most of the major highways around town. Still seeing some stop and go, though, northbound I-25 University to Alameda, and it's a little heavy coming southbound on 25 Park Avenue to Spear Boulevard. Also look out for water main work on University near Yale and daily construction going on, Colfax near Colorado. In Golden, Highway 58 at Washington Avenue, and down on the south end of town, County Line Road around University. The forecast, mostly sunny and warmer, highs in the low 80s, could be breezy too. Got a small chance for an afternoon thunderstorm as well. Right now, 68 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Jazzy geraniums and perfect petunias can be yours this year. It's easy. Use Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix, then sit back, enjoy the results, and take the credit. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Coming up Thursday on the Tom Harmon program, I'll challenge conservative Susan Allen, the former First Lady of Virginia, about gay penguins and what they have to do with riled up parents in Alameda, California. Plus, independent journalist Jeremy Scahill, author of the best-selling book Blackwater, will be here to talk about preventative detention, KBR, and torture squads that may still be operating at Gitmo.
It's the Tom Harmon program, 1 to 4. On AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Airbags don't work and the car's electrical systems are rusting away. Avoid these waterlogged wrecks. Make sure you get a free Carfax vehicle history report from your dealer. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to Carfax.com.
Flying out today? The parking lots at DIA are filling fast. Save time by exiting Peña Boulevard at Tower Road and go left to U.S. Airport Parking. And earn free parking with our frequent parker program. U.S. Airport Parking. It's so easy.
The Home Depot has new lower prices on select patio sets. You'll save 25% or more. But keep your seat. It gets better. Put those savings towards something to enjoy while sitting pretty on the patio. Like a new flat of flowers, a new grill, or maybe some outdoor lighting for those cool evenings you'll spend thanks to our new lower prices on select patio sets. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I-55 on AM760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Last couple minutes on whether President Obama missed, from an ideological perspective, an opportunity to change the Supreme Court, to change its direction. Obviously, he did not miss an opportunity to make the court more diverse, which is a great thing. He seized that opportunity by nominating Sonia Sotomayor to be the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court. But did he miss an ideological opportunity? Sotomayor, her record, some legal scholars say, could be more conservative than the justice she is replacing. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Josh and Greeley, you're on AM760. Oh, Josh is not there. Okay. Denny in Boulder County. Denny.
John Turk, again, is doing just an outstanding job.
He is. He is the man. He is Han Solo.
And you guys, this program, I listened to Jay for a long time, and at times I just get frustrated, but you're balanced, and it's almost like Obama. You have competency to argue the facts and issues. Please get Jeff back on. He was so good for our cause. You know, his rant about us being losers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the famous phone call. Yeah, that was pretty intense.
And you handled it well. You didn't get intimidated by his name calling.
Yeah,
I think he proved Dick Cheney to be right about one thing, about too many of us are whiners.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was really, really whining. That's
whining,
absolutely right.
Whining.
Yeah.
I don't think Obama missed. I think he passed on this opportunity. You know, in this. If this is a 60-minute football game or a basketball game, we're still early in the fourth quarter. And it's a brilliant political move. You know, the Republicans are basically shutting the door to the whole, to 90% of the thinking Hispanic community with how they're handling this. So I think he's continuing to work on building his base. I voted for change, but basically for hope rather than fear. And I think there's a possibility that when she gets nominated, she will shift more toward empathy and more towards the left. And her record may not indicate that, but the Supreme Court seems to, It makes prediction of what kind of a justice people are going to be. Sometimes they surprise us.
Well, they surprise us sometimes. Well, I don't know if it's as many times as they don't surprise us, but you've got some really incredible examples of that. Earl Warren becoming far more progressive than he was thought to be. David Souter was thought to be a conservative, ended up being, it was nominated by George H.W. Bush, ended up being a fairly progressive, at least on non-corporate issues. So you're right, we do not know what Sotomayor would be like on the court. But I do think that it's important, even knowing that we don't know, and now I sound like Donald Rumsfeld, known unknowns.
it's hard for you to sound like Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, I appreciate that, but the issue is we gotta still look at what we do know about her, and I think it's fair for us to hash it out, right? I mean, it's a historic nomination. I think it's fantastic that we're gonna get probably a Hispanic on the court. It's much needed, and she brings a lot of experience, and that diversity is really important. And the Republicans who say that diversity isn't important, those are the racists. However, I also think it's important to take a look at how she might move the court on rulings. And that's what this was about today. Thanks for the call. All right, this has been the J. Marvin Show on Thursday, the best day of the week. Tomorrow, more. Stick around.
It's over for the Republicans for the next 40 years because they will be viewed as the party that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't deliver to the American people.
The Edge. Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lowry's Hardwoods. Want to say...